Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. I am Michael Petro. Hello, listener. This week on the show, it's me and Rob doing a real talk for you. We sit down and talk about our favorite Batman, Batman of 89, the only Batman that matters, Michael Keaton, in that fantastic movie that Tim Burton made, and what we hope will maybe be. Well, I've seen it since. I know how good The Flash is. I know how fucking fantastic Michael Keaton was. But this was our Flash episode for you. So we rehashed some stuff on Batman 89, where we were, who we were as people when the movie came out. Then we dip into reviewing the reviewer. We take a look at the early reviews of The Flash and try to make our own opinions without using somebody else's. At the same time, hoping that Ezra knocks it out of the park, which again, I've seen the movie and he so does. He's fucking fantastic in this film. I know he can make you clutch your pearls, but just look at him as The Flash for a moment, okay? It's a very good film. Moving on to that, it's Warner Brothers at 100. We look at the top 100 movies from Warner Brothers per Rotten Tomatoes and just talk about our favorites, some of the biggest moments, Warner Brothers at 100, the inception of the studio, all that stuff. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. If you want to see us out in the wild this summer, all of August, there's movies in the park at Assiniboine Park. We're going to try to be at almost every single one of them, which is every Friday night. There's an early show and a late show, matinee, late feature. One for the kids, one for the older kids and the adults. If you've never done this, it's a lot of fun. It's movies in a park. And if you see the table with the microphones and us goofballs sitting around talking, shooting the shit about the film, come over and say hello and say your opinion on the matter. If you're watching Super Brothers and you see us, if you're watching Super Mario Brothers and you see us there, come on over and say hello and be like, why doesn't Luigi flick fireballs at his nose in this movie? They do it in the video games or whatever your opinion is on the matter. Come over and say hello. We're very friendly. We're very approachable. Some of us even have bare children. So, I mean, we have values here at the Real Debaters podcast. Point is, follow us on social media. If you want to know where we're going to be this summer, that's at Real Debaters podcast, our Real Debaters pod on Instagram and Twitter, Real Debaters podcast on Facebook, and RD Pod Shorts at YouTube, at our YouTube page, Real Debaters Podcast Shorts. That's your 30-second to a minute clip, your short clip, your short selection of the best Real Debaters moments from our episodes. And then, just staying in the know with what we do. I suggest Instagram or Facebook. Those are the two that get the most attention from us. We try to Twitter, but we don't know how to tweet. So, that's about it. That's all I got for you. This is a good episode. It's Super Flash, Super Batman, Super Warner Brothers. Maybe that studio can turn it around with this film. Once you see it, hopefully you agree with me. If you don't, hey, leave a voicemail on our Real Debaters hotline, which is at the link in our bio on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Smash it. It's got everybody's shit there. But the first one is leave a voicemail. We'll play it on the show, and we'll talk about you behind your back. No, we'll play it and talk about it. We're not going to be dicks to you. Don't worry. It's not a one-sided argument. Ladies and gentlemen, I have nothing else for you. Here's The Flash. Here's Batman. Here's me and Rob chewing the fat. I will cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everyone, to the official space section of the charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. I am Michael Petro. Hello, listener. You, Rob.
Oh, I'm supposed to talk now? That's me.
We're missing a third person.
That's
so
right.
I know.
That's right. I'm thrown off today. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm gonna be able to talk so much.
You are. It's Rob Unleashed.
I'm Rob's tracking. I'm ready to talk.
That's right, listener. There's just the two of us today. So welcome to another episode. There's really nothing to announce. You know what? There is an announcement.
What's that announcement?
The announcement is we're gonna be back at Movies in the Park.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's right.
In August.
That's right.
So the schedule's been released. We did this last year. We overdid it last year where we did two movies back to back and called it like double features.
Yeah.
We're such lazy pieces of shit. We're riding the coattails of Assiniboine Park, who do all the work, who pay for all the licensing, but they're very kind to us and they let us come. So we're going to be back there, but we're only going to do one movie a night this year. We're going to set up post. We'll be there.
What day of the week is it?
They're Fridays,
right?
Okay. Fridays all throughout August up to September, long weekend.
Have they listed the movie?
They have listed the movies.
What's out of all the movies that they posted, because I'm assuming there's eight.
Give or take, yes. Yeah.
So yeah. What's your must-see out of those eight?
E.T.
E.T.
Opening.
Now, question.
Opening. I believe it's opening week.
Are they going to show the original version where his mother says... You look like you're dressed like a terrorist. Yeah. Or the edited version where they say you look like a hobo.
It depends on the licensing company in Canada.
My guess it'll be on DVD or on DVD.
I'm guessing
because that was changed, I think, for the DVD release in like 98 or something.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? I can't wait to be around a bunch of kids who've never seen E.T. before. That's interesting to me to see how
it's pretty fucking campy.
It's totally fucking campy.
Elliot.
But you know what though? I just saw a clip or an interview where they were interviewing Spielberg and he was like, I wanted to intervene in Drew Barrymore's life so bad, but I wasn't her father.
Yeah.
And like all the John Barrymore like partying and doing coke at 10 shit. He was like, he was proxy to it.
I thought she did coke at 8.
10.
Was it 10?
10 coke, 12 smoking.
And I think weed was like before that.
Yeah, weed was in the younger years, like 4 or 5.
She's like fucking like that's insane. Like I think Robert Downey Jr. said he smoked weed when he was like 12 or something.
Yeah. I thought no one had shit on RDJ, but apparently Drew Barrymore.
No, fucking Drew Barrymore does.
But here's what Spielberg did. He did this. He was so sweet. She really believed E.T. was real.
Oh.
So on lunch breaks.
So it evoked that emotion out of her, right? Yeah.
On lunch breaks, he paid the puppeteers to stay inside of it so that she never knew it wasn't real.
Shut the fuck up.
Anyway, so yeah, the show. What are we talking about? This weekend is The Flash coming out. And we've already got some early reviews of it from the critics. So we're going to go over those and form our own opinions based on that.
Totally.
But at the Oscars this year, which I don't know, did you watch the Oscars?
I watched a couple little highlights and that was pretty much it. I mostly looked at it, you know when you can't watch.
I just wanted to see if someone's going to hit.
You know when you can't, like I'm not a big sports guy, but you know when your local team is like in the playoffs, you're checking in just to see how they're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm a lot of times I'm busy doing something else, but I'll periodically check on my phone just to see where the score's at.
Sure.
So with the Oscars, I was doing the same thing. I was like, all right, they won. Yeah, that's what I figured. But I actually didn't watch the broadcast.
Okay.
Mostly because I don't have cable anymore.
Fair enough.
Like back in the day, it would have been like queued up on my PVR to fucking record, but I just I don't watch it. I don't watch that shit anymore.
I get it. I stole Mark. Well, I didn't steal. Mark gave me his TSN password, which got me CTV, which got me to
get it. Yeah, that's right.
But anyways, at the awards, this really fucking low point in the broadcast was where Warner Brothers was like, make sure you play our documentary trailer. And it's 100 years of Warner Brothers this year, listener. Yeah. They turn 100, one of the 5 legacy studios. So we're going to go over our favorite Warner Brothers.
Was Disney 100 this year or last year?
I'm not sure.
I think Disney's 100 this year.
Yeah.
Because they've got the new intro that says the Disney 100.
Okay, then it's...
I think they both might be this year. Let's Google that shit.
Check it out.
You keep talking.
I'll vamp. So we're going to go over our exclusively favorite Warner Brothers movies over the years. And we're also going to have a lovely conversation about Batman 89 because The Flash to me, Rob, is the Flash movie, but it's really all about Michael Keaton. Like, it's not about
Disney's 100 years old this year, too.
Wow.
October 16th, it was found. October 16th, 2023.
The Mouse House is 100, and the four or five brothers for Warner. We'll get into that, but the brothers and the mouse are, wow, that's 200 years of cinema. That's insane. Anyway, so that's what's on the show, Batman 89, The Flash review, and...
Dude, Universal is 111 years old.
Fuck. How old's Paramount?
Let's check. Let's see what the Google machine says.
So I believe Paramount was... Charlie Chaplin started Paramount, I believe.
Paramount.
How old?
Paramount is how old? 111 years old, too. Paramount Pictures.
Jesus Christ.
It was found at the same year as Universal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. Like, Universal and Paramount are the same age.
And Disney and Warner Brothers.
And then
Brothers.
Disney and Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah. Let's step off this mortal coil. What'd you watch?
So I am really tired of Netflix right now, and I feel like there really hasn't been anything good. Disney is kind of, it's always there because I'm, you know, watching kids shows and those kind of things.
You're taking a big bite out of an apple right now?
I'm taking a big. I jumped back into Apple. So for some reason on my Samsung TV, it basically gave me 3 months for free. I was like, giddy up.
Why not?
Right? Because I think they're running some kind of promo with Samsung. So if you've got a Samsung television, 2018 or newer, there's a good chance that you're going to get 3 months of Apple TV for free.
Jesus.
Which is better than just the 1 month they offer, right?
Yeah.
So that gives you 90 days to actually like preview a bunch.
You can crush a bunch
of fucking awesome shows like Severance and, you know, the one that I'm watching right now is Silo. And I fucking Love it.
Martin made giant praise about it a couple weeks ago. What are your thoughts?
So, you know, first season's 10 episodes. They're only releasing one each Friday, so you've got to wait.
So they're on a schedule.
Yeah, so I think it's either episode 7 or 8 tomorrow.
Okay.
Or this Friday coming up. But I guess when this airs, it'll probably be episode 9, probably, 8 or 9.
Yep, 9 will be out tomorrow.
So it's cool. So it's basically these people live in this silo structure. It's obviously in the near future, and they don't know about any kind of. All they know is that the outside world is poisoned, and they've been living in the silo for 140 years. There's 144 levels to the silo, and about 10,000 people live there. And
total or per level?
Total.
Okay.
Right, and each person kind of has a job, and you know they're. And
it's
a community, right? And it kind of starts off talking to the centered around the sheriff and his wife. That's the first episode.
Okay.
And I'll just kind of leave it at that. But it's got Rebecca Ferguson from Mission Impossible.
She's
and,
big fucking grin on my
and
face.
Dune. And she's great.
Yeah.
And
Dr. Sleep. Everyone forgets her in Dr. Sleep, and that's my favorite role.
Yeah. And it's kind of got a utopian kind of twist. It's kind of got a 19-
utopian or dystopian?
Dystopian kind of twist. It's kind of got like kind of like a detective kind of like mystery thing, kind of figuring out some puzzles.
Is this another murder mystery by Rian Johnson?
It's not a murder mystery, but it's more. There's some murders in it, and there's some law enforcement aspect of it. But it's just I don't know, and they keep unveiling things about the truth, and you're like, oh, that's weird, and it's a lot about like control, and I don't know. My brain starts going to a million places on how it's all going to play out and stuff like that. And it just gives you hints and there's breadcrumbs and there's little Easter eggs. And then as each episode, it unveils a little bit more and it peels off another layer of the onion, And I love that kind of thing because you're just like, what the fuck's going to happen next?
Do you know what else is like onions? Yeah. Ogres are like onions.
Ogres. Ogres. Sorry, donkey.
Donkey.
Get over here, donkey.
Yeah,
that's funny. I watched Puss in Boots as well for like 27 times.
Stay on silo.
Yeah.
Good budget, good production value.
Good production budget. Tim Robbins is in it.
I heard.
You know.
Haven't seen him since a hot show.
Commons in it.
Like the rapper. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
He can act.
He totally can act.
Yeah.
It's cool concept. I like it.
Where do you think it's going?
I think it's going to go to the point where
they're going to,
I don't know. Like my thought goes that maybe this is a massive fucking experiment that's been
Westworldish,
like running over multiple generations, or maybe, you know,
giant alien ant farm.
Maybe the outside isn't poisoned anymore and it's actually safe, but they don't want to tell everyone because they just want to maintain this control.
That's very Cloverfield.
So, you know, it's very, I just have to see, you know what I mean? And I know like episode 10 is called Going Outside or something like that.
Well,
you know,
they're opening a hatch.
Unfortunately, I read that. I'm not going to give any real spoilers
here. Sure. It is active. It is a weekly show. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. But I also don't want
to. What's keeping you sucked in?
It's just well written. It's intriguing. I need to know what the fuck's going on.
Like Severance.
You know, exactly. Like I need to know. And you know what? I have to give Apple this, man. They are fucking, I feel like right now some of the, and I mean, they've got some shows that are kind of like, meh. Like that C show with Jason Momoa, I kind of watch. It just seems so fucking dumb.
I'm threatening with no sight.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you built this fucking, like society without being able to see, like, come on, you know what I mean? Like, how many people, like, if someone's stubbing their toe every fucking day, like, get out of here.
Does everybody use echolocation?
Come on.
I wanted to give it a shot.
Like, we don't have Daredevil level fucking radar here.
I know. If you're gonna make people blind, they need to have another heightened sense.
It's just
to compensate.
I don't know. It's just it looks cool. And I love Jason Momoa, and he's just fucking dope and shit.
Yeah.
But the whole premise behind it just seems ridiculous to me.
It does. And that's early Apple, too. Like, that was one of the first, like, three real shows.
But they have tons of good shows that I want to watch on there.
They do.
And I feel like right now they're in, like, the early days of, you know, remember when AMC was just fucking hitting? like fucking you're
out
like,
of the park.
You're
out
like
park.
Every time
out
AMC had a show, you're like, I gotta fucking watch this new show. It's gonna be fucking amazing. It's gonna be like The Walking Dead. It's gonna be like Mad Men.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Apple's like in a little stint like there. And HBO's had their little things like that too. And you
well,
know,
and it's
and same with Netflix and same with Prime.
But the thing about what we nerd out about is like Amazon Prime. Listener, just so you know, isn't making their money off of your shopping. They're making their money off their server farms and their.
They're making money off shopping too.
Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah.
I've always believed the rumor was.
Do you
want
to know how big Amazon is now?
Okay, sure.
So I looked at the global 100 list.
I've opened up a conspiracy hole here.
No. So the biggest publicly traded company in the world is still Walmart revenue. It's like $588 billion. Wrap your mind around that fucking number. Amazon's like
over half a trillion.
Amazon's like this is American corporate companies, not global. So this is American. Number two is Amazon. It's like $489 billion.
Only off by $100 million.
Billion, not a million. Billion. Like that's fucking big. Like Apple's like $300 billion. Samsung's like $230 billion.
My point is
like
that
those are fucking massive companies. They're like fucking country size.
But now they're getting into the world of movie production where
yeah.
studios are always yeah. like, is it worth the risk?
Yeah.
Apple and Amazon have expendable in bank hard cash to spend. Hence why Rings of Power was $500 million. They're just like, we have money. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
Apple has about $90 billion in the bank right now.
My point is that Apple has a lot of money to make a lot of creative decisions that are more gambles.
I think they're
going to
buy
studio.
Disney in the next year.
I agree. Him and Tim Cook and Bob Iger are going to be best friends by the end of 2025.
I think by 2025, Apple will own Disney. That's my prediction. And remember we talked about this a couple years ago,
yeah.
right? That was the one thing they're missing.
Heard
and
it here first.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Samsung also buys somebody.
Who would they buy for a
Viacom maybe?
Okay.
Or maybe they buy fucking Warner Brothers.
Maybe. I don't think Zaslav wants to give that up right now.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, and the thing is that these big American companies they could stomach a Korean company buying them more than a Chinese company or,
yeah,
you know
agreed.
What I mean?
Definitely.
You know? So,
world climate
but again,
dictates,
who,
yeah.
But again, who knows, right?
So, point is that Apple makes good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also said you were watching something else. On Apple.
The other thing I just finished and I crushed it in one day was Shrinking.
In one day?
In one day.
What are they, like 22 minutes?
They're
episode?
30 minute episodes.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. So I love Jason Segel. Like, How I Met Your Mother is fucking still
so
one of
how do you feel about Harrison?
I haven't even got to Harrison yet, okay? I'm working up there, okay? So Jay-Z, I fucking love that guy. He's so fucking funny. He's so talented. I'm assuming that he's got some kind of writing chops on this as well.
He's a big writer, yeah.
I mean, Forgetting Sarah Marshall is one of my favorite comedies, you know? I love the fact that, no problem, we're doing full frontal male nudity.
Fuck it.
You shall not pass. Like what he does, like, I don't know, that's always in my brain.
But
you
the
know?
Musical in the end.
Oh,
the
God. Fuck, man. And Bill Hader's so fucking good as his brother-in-law.
Yeah. Oh, and fucking Paul Rudd as surf coach.
Oh, yeah.
Kuno.
Kuno. Whoa.
Don't try. Just be.
It's
no,
just,
you're
just,
jumping up wrong.
It's just good, man. It's a
it
good
is.
Movie. But Jason Segel's very talented. I always, you know, when you're watching a show, you always go on IMDb, and I always like double check. I always want to see how old the actors are in comparison to me. And he's like about a year younger than me, but I was like, man, he's starting to look a little bit older. But but maybe I'm starting to look older, and I'm not realizing it.
Funny how TV makes you do crazy.
Well, you're
things.
Comparing him to as Marshall on How I Met Your Mother when he was in his late 20s,
yeah.
early 30s, right? So just a different kind of thing. And then Harrison Ford's, dude, that guy's a fucking legend.
Yes.
Like a fucking legend. And I mean,
he's making Captain America 4 right now.
He's in Captain America 4?
Yeah, he's the head of he's taking over what's his face's role from the original Hulk movies. The general who
Tim Hurts? John
Hurt.
John Hurts.
John Hurt's character.
Because in John Hurt Pass?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's taking over that role.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Anyways.
Fuck it. Harrison Ford's fucking 80, bro. He turns 80 this year.
I know. How old is Clint Eastwood then?
Clint Eastwood is like, he's got to be 100.
He's as old as Disney.
Well, did you ever see that video where he was like at the RNC?
The chair?
And he was like yelling at the fucking chair?
Yeah.
It's like that meme of Abe Simpson where he's like old man yells at Sky.
Yeah. I remember the clip fondly. But
I know you don't know a lot about Simpsons, but you know who Abe Simpson is, right?
Yeah,
that's Homer's dad. Okay.
Pour it on the salt, don't you?
And
fucking
okay, Clint Eastwood, what year do you think he was born?
1913.
He's not that old, dude. He'd be dead. He'd be 110.
Doable.
He's old. He's not the Crypt Keeper.
97. I think he's 97.
He's 97?
I think he's 97.
He's not. He was born in 1930.
70.
So he's 93 years old.
Wow. Still, all 90 is the same.
Yeah.
93, 97.
And how old is Scott Eastwood? So let's just figure out when he had Scott Eastwood.
This week on The Real Debaters, when did stars fuck to procreate?
Scott Eastwood, I think, Scott Eastwood was born in 86.
Wow.
So Clint Eastwood was 56 when his son Scott
was born. But that's
what
they all do. They work their career off, and then they have kids like Al Pacino is right now at 83, who was like, I demand a fucking paternity test because I didn't think I could get anybody pregnant.
Is that what he did?
That's what he did. He does not believe that she was pregnant until
it was and like, has he done the paternity test?
Yeah, he's the daddy.
Damn.
No shit.
Fucking.
Anyways. Shrinking. Tell me about. Well, the only thing I know about shrinking
is premise. He's a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
His wife has passed.
Okay.
And you know he's just having a lot of trouble dealing with it. He's a little bit estranged from his daughter. His next door neighbor, who was you know one of his wife's really good friends, has kind of stepped in kind of a motherly kind of role because her sons have kind of moved away. They're all at college, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't talked to his best friend in a year. He's
in it. He's going through it.
Yeah, his dad is his shrink.
Is that
No. So no. Harrison Ford is his boss slash colleague.
Oh,
and mentor, right?
Okay.
And then the other girl, I can't remember her name, was his wife's best friend, and she's also a psychiatrist there.
So
right, it's funny. It's feel good, but. It's also, I love the language when, because someone will say something, they'll be like, fuck you. Like, just like the shit that I would say to somebody when I'm
the
fucking
snarky,
mad.
The snarky,
like, just snarky,
yeah.
Like, suck a fucking dick.
Bag
like,
of dicks, buddy.
Like, but it's real language that millennials use.
Yeah.
You know?
It's speaking to a certain crowd.
It's speaking to people in their late 30s, early 40s, who are, you know, the older millennials.
Have some rust on them, and they
haven't toned down their fucking language. And you know, they might have kids that are fucking teenagers or whatever, and they just don't give a fuck. And it's just saying it how it is. And I appreciate that.
That's awesome. Brett Goldstein, Roy Kent on Ted Lasso writes on that show.
Oh, does he? Okay. Yes. I haven't seen Ted Lasso yet.
Okay.
So
all the
there's another Apple TV.
All the things...
I heard Ted Lasso's kind of like cheese dick though.
No.
Okay, because Shrinking is, there's some parts where I was like, oh, come on. But I was just like, I was into it, so I didn't care.
The Ted Lasso effect, which is everybody's talking about, yeah. It's the fucking hashtag of the moment.
I love Jason Sudeikis, too.
You're going to fall in. You're just going to love the ham and the cheesy. Like, it is cheese dick,
yeah.
But it's sincere. Like, he really is
yeah.
coming from a place of positivity.
That's cool.
And I hear Shrinking does the same thing where it's like yeah. dark topics, but like yeah. overcoming them. Like
totally.
There's a silver lining. There's a sunset.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a pot of gold at the end. Whatever fucking metaphor you want to use, it's feel good.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So the one more thing about Shrinking
yeah, yeah, yeah.
too
yeah.
is so he basically goes, fuck it. I'm just going to tell some of these people what I feel instead of dancing around
that's
it.
That's right. I saw that.
And it's more than just that, but that's something he starts doing, and he helps a few of the people. But then at the very end.
Kind of
backfires, and you're kind of like, "Whoa, bum, bum, bum." So season two will
so
be interesting.
Shrinking, we're crashing now.
Yeah, maybe. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, I'm not going to do any spoilers, so because I want to encourage people to watch it and
yeah.
see how it unfolds. But yeah, it's a good show. I recommend it.
How many
shrunken heads?
How many shrunken heads do you give it? Like little, like Amazonian tribe shrunken heads.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Not like clinically shrunken.
It could be both.
Sure.
It could be either
yeah.
or.
Yeah.
I would give it like a 7.5.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And then
is it the greatest show I've ever seen? No, but was it entertaining? You get to see Harrison Ford in that kind of like
curmudgeon-y
fucking
yeah.
but comedic role, which I like. You know, there's a really funny scene where he does edibles. It's great.
Amazing.
Yeah, man.
I saw a clip of...
And this is fucking Han Solo, man.
It's
fucking Indiana Jones. He's fucking dope.
He
like, whenever I see him, I'm just like, fuck, man, you are the best.
Be my grandpa.
Like, when he passes away, it'll be very sad.
I
think the last big actor that was as monumental as him passing was probably Sean Connery.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Like there, yeah. there's holes in my heart for like. I mean, Johnny Cash for music is me too. Like,
okay.
There's just those. they have such an effect on you. But yeah, Han is, it's Han, it's Indy.
Dude, like, let's be very honest. If you want to take two quintessential roles in cinema that have a massive lasting impact, for sure, on young boys.
Yeah.
Especially young boys that grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
What are those two?
Yeah, either or. Whips or blasters.
It's those two. Where do you land? Those fucking two, and it's just one actor that personifies both of them.
Who was a carpenter before he was an actor and was discovered on a set.
Yeah.
Like, how much more romance do you... Like, that's Hollywood romance right there.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure there's some gaps in that story, but,
yeah,
like,
I think he had some other small little bit parts and stuff like
that. Sure, yeah.
But like, he has a small little cameo in this Elliot Gould movie.
Ooh.
I can't fucking remember the name of it right now. It has Candace Bergen in it as well.
We'll find it at the end.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember watching it. My dad was like, oh, let's watch this fucking movie. And I was like, really? Elliot Gould? He's like, dude, trust me. He's like, Elliot Gould was like the biggest actor in the world in the 1970s. I'm like,
sure,
okay.
Yeah.
So we watched it. And I was like, Candace Bergen.
He's one of every dad's favorite actors.
You know, Candace Bergen was in it.
Murphy Brown.
Yeah, Murphy Brown. And then all of a sudden, like, and that's back, like, she was like crazy smoke show hot. But Harrison Ford has like the small little cat. I was like, that's Harrison Ford.
There he goes. He just walked in the
exactly.
set.
And I mean, what's the first George Lucas movie? THX, but the other one.
The car one.
American Graffiti.
That's it.
He's super good at that.
Yeah.
That's small role.
Mr. Holland's Opus. What's his name? Fucking Jaws.
What
about Bob?
And Potato Mountain.
Yeah, he's getting in trouble a lot these days. What the fuck's his name?
I can't remember.
I always confuse him with Dustin Hoffman.
I'm fucking brain farting.
So am I.
They're both really short.
Yeah, they are. It'll come to us.
Anyway.
Listener, get us in the comments. What the fuck did I watch? Okay, yeah, cool. Started this. Happy Shiny People, 4-part docuseries made by Amazon Prime. All about the Duggars. 19 kids and counting.
Oh, like in like the pedophilia whole thing?
Like Josh Duggar shit.
Yeah.
And then like Dad Duggar, and they all Duggar people. It's horrible.
Does he have some fucking skeletons?
They all do. Okay, so like here's what I didn't know, and I'm sure a lot of people don't know, is that those TLC shows were like accidents and like attempts. And then when they hit... They would make a huge show.
They doubled
down on it. So the Duggars had 5 1-hour episodes about certain aspects of their life before they had a show. But they're part of this insanely religious group of homeschooled Christians, mm-hmm. very evangelist.
Yeah.
Who believe in the more wives and the more kids you sow, the better, you know, very LDS almost, right?
The better you'll look in God's
eyes. Exactly, because you're spreading God's word through all your children.
Totally.
So that's what the 19 kids and counting was, but...
And they're also creationists and all that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, like, and no cell phones, no access to the outside world.
Unless it's looking at child porn.
Definitely, unless you're Josh Duggar. Sneaking a fucking flip phone into bed. That guy's a piece of shit.
Fuck.
So what you find out though is that TLC at the time did these, but then they had to build a new house because their house was too small and the money that they were getting from like these 5 mini episodes went towards building a new house. And then TLC was like, well, hey, you need money and we want a show. So they threw a ton of money at Papa Duggar to finish the house, and then that's how the show
started.
I thought he was like
some real estate guy and had a business and stuff.
He ran it. He was in politics. He's on the right. He's incredibly religious. Basically, what ended up happening was this group had some really bad strays, a.k.a. Josh Duggar, inside this Christian group. And the show... I'm only 1.5 episodes into it, so we're now getting into the kids who are also part of this church group.
Yeah.
And their opinion of the Duggars. Like, okay. It's the outside. You get the third eldest daughter, I guess.
Okay.
It's her story in the first episode.
How many kids do they have again?
They had 20 last time I checked. Like, 20 like, fucking kids.
I gotta ask a serious question.
Sure.
Okay, like...
I'll probably have
a
non-serious answer.
I mean, like... Every time a woman has a baby, it's not an easy process.
No,
because you're basically creating another human.
Yeah,
right.
You're making a road out of a sidewalk.
So, you know, and I mean, obviously, I guess some women can have 20 children.
Sure,
But I would say,
but
like,
what are the repercussions?
What are the repercussions, like, on her longevity, on her long-term health, those kind of things?
On her,
like,
short-term health to take care of 10 of them.
Well, the other thing is, like, does that take 10 years off the tail end? Like, I've always been curious about something like that.
Honestly, as I'm going through it.
No, I'm not saying it's not worth the sacrifice, and obviously probably to her, it is, right?
But it comes from a highly influenced religious belief. It doesn't come from, I don't think it truly comes from her desire. Because when,
like, she's literally been fucking pregnant her entire adult life.
She's never stopped.
Like,
there's a point in the show, Rob, where she leans over to a group of people on a talk show and she's like, we're so happy to announce that we're having our 20th child. And, like, no one claps because everyone's like, this is fucking awkward. Like, this shit is too fucking real.
Yeah, like, your vagina's a clown car.
And first episode ends with, like, so what about Josh and what about all the... And she's like, I can't talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's pulling the curtain...
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's pulling the curtain back on not only the Duggars, because, like, we all knew something was rotten in Duggar, but, like, pulling the curtain back on the TLC craze of reality television of the era. Now, like, we know the Kate Plus 8 shit went sour. We now know the Duggars went sour. Like,
what was the one with the daughter and she was, like, in the beauty pageant things?
Oh, Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Right? Like, I'm all for trash reality television. You want to get a bunch of hot people on a show?
I feel like those were very exploitive, though, on some level. And remember when TLC was actually about, like, remember it was, like, the Learning Channel?
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
and it was kind of like, it was
programming and family programming.
No. It was, like, learning shit. It was Discovery Channel adjacent, but it had a lot more focused documentaries on earth sciences. And
really? Because I always thought that was just Discovery.
No. They had a show called How It's Made. That was on TLC.
That was on Discovery.
It was on TLC. TLC and Discovery are the same company.
Well, here's what's funny about that, Rob. Yeah. So Amazon makes this show. And the first 10 minutes of the show, there's a clip of the Warner Brothers merger.
Yeah.
And Zaslav talking about reality television and wanting to get it out to the masses and have this big merger. And it looks like it's Amazon shot at Zaslav because that was when he was running Discovery at the time. And I mean, if you film a family for 24 hours a day and you put cameras in every room, you're going to get shit. You're good, like,
guaranteed.
You have footage of something being said or done. I'm not saying you have it on camera, but I'm saying you have Josh being nefarious in a corner, and to turn a blind eye because it's so ad revenue based. Because that's what those shows are. You make those shows and you make fucking boatloads of money on
totally
ads.
100%.
So I'm one quarter of the way through it. It's fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's Amazon doing, like, investigative documentaries, which they don't do. They buy that shit and put it on there, and then you get Bob Lazar stuff, like, that we love, right?
Yeah,
like alien documentaries and weird shit. But this is them producing it. So it's an interesting aspect to see where Amazon's going with their, like, documentary program.
I remember watching this one Duggard TV show episode, and I guess they had gone to this, like, national park that's in somewhere in the United States.
Yeah.
I forget which state. And you can go find your own fossils, right? And he goes,
Montana, I guess.
No, I think it's, like, in Arkansas or something like that. Because I think that's where they're from. Like, Arkansas or Mississippi or
Iowa.
No, I think a little bit further south, but
Indiana.
No, Indiana's too far north. But regardless, they were going, and the parks people basically did a spiel at the beginning, and they said, you know, these fossils are tens of thousands of years old, and or millions of years old, and blah 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 blah. And he goes, I really thought it was a fun exercise, but I don't really agree with the park, you know, because for me the world's only like 10,000 years old. And I remember watching that and just thinking to myself, I'm like, listen, dude, it's called radiocarbon dating. And if you don't believe in radiocarbon dating, then you better rip out all the fucking smoke detectors in your fucking house, because it's based on the same fucking technology. It's using radioactive decay to, you know, in a different way. But I'm like, fuck off. Like, you can't enjoy, like, all the awesomeness of fucking modern society, but throw out something like that.
When it's convenient.
When
I
it's
know.
Convenient for
and
your
that's
fucking,
what,
like,
that's the shit
for
that makes
faith.
My blood boil. Like, me and Shauna watch. Yeah. Religious documentaries about cults and sex all the time, because I'm just like, how do people fall for this shit? And
people are vulnerable.
They are. That's the pitch.
And the thing is, you got to remember, humans are wired to be communal. We, from an evolutionary standpoint, we knew that by ourselves, like, we won't survive by ourselves in nature. So we have to be in communities. So we're wired to want to belong. And that's why when there's a trend or a fad, everyone follows it, because they want to belong. They want to be part of something.
We're all
right. We want
sheep.
To be in a community, and it's almost like we're wired that way for survival, right? And it's almost like an evolutionary, intrinsic thing that's built into humans.
It's downright, you know, encoded in our DNA.
Whereas, you know, let's use an elk as an example. A male elk just is out on his fucking own, and he's gonna fucking make it. He doesn't need to be in a fucking
troop
of fucking elks.
Unless they're female.
But I think, doesn't he just like bang the female and then goes away and then goes back into the woods?
Am I Joe Rogan? Like, what do I know about elk?
I don't fucking know, man. I mean,
River Heights. What do I know about fucking horns and shit? Anyways, watch Happy Shiny People.
Happy
Shiny People.
And you've watched the first episode?
Episode and a half.
And each one's an hour?
Hour and change, yeah.
And it's on Prime.
It's on Prime.
Is it well done? Like, is
it's
it
very well done.
Okay.
It's done in the, it's not as crisp and clean as a Netflix doc.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't look like, you know, I don't know.
Root Cause.
Yeah, right? Doesn't, it's whatever. Throw any.
That one's so controversial. That's the one with the, where root canals are actually causing cancer.
Oh my God. That's on Netflix?
It was. I don't think it's there anymore.
But yeah, I give it, how do I rate a fucking docuseries about child predators?
Well, it's not just about child predators. Well, I mean you're focusing on one thing.
I give it right now 7 kids out of 10. Maybe it'll get 20. I don't know yet.
Anyways. Or is it 14 kids out of 20?
Yeah. I don't know the math.
14 kids out of 20.
I just feel bad for that translates. I'm waiting to go see Transformers this weekend, which I can't wait to see. Next, like, Oppenheimer's coming. I'm even excited for Barbie. I'm going to go see Barbie.
Is there any shows here? I'm really excited about Jack Ryan season 3, which
really?
Is coming in a month.
Reacher season 2 for me, which is
I watched the first 2 episodes of Reacher, and I got derailed.
Really?
I got to go. I got to watch it again.
Dude, it's like Batman with no cape.
I know.
He just
know.
Steps on people's necks. It's amazing.
I know. He's a dope guy too.
He really is. He filmed a movie here.
Well, I know. Remember, he on his social media, he was like, I don't know how this is possible. I'm in the middle of the fucking continent, and somehow I just had some of the best sushi I've ever had in my fucking life.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that work?
That's like 6 minutes from my house.
Yeah. He's like, I've been to fucking Vancouver, and this sushi was better. and he was like, what the fuck?
Shout out Wasabi. Taylor.
Yeah. And I don't even think Wasabi and Taylor is the best sushi restaurant in Winnipeg. It's
we don't want them to turn on us.
Are they big fans?
I don't know.
I love that Wasabi, but I'm a big Yajiro fan.
That shows. So is Shauna, actually.
Yajiro is my fucking jam. If I'm gonna I don't have sushi very often, but when I do, Yajiro's my go-to.
Yajiro, shout out. We love you. Yeah. If anybody knows anybody at Yajiro, tell them the real debaters love their fatty tuna. So I don't really have a big week of stuff because
honestly, I just haven't been watching a lot of TV.
Yeah, no.
And I just haven't even had time to get to the movie theater. I really want to watch Fast X
for
10.
I did for a hot minute, and then I was like, I think I can wait for home release.
Yeah, and I mean,
we got to go see Oppenheimer together.
We'll go see Oppenheimer for sure. I'm excited. I heard the new Spider-Man movie's dope.
Oh, I actually can talk about that finally. And I'll say this again because I feel that some people...
Have you seen it?
No. I just watched the first one, though, this week. Completely fucking slipped my mind.
Oh, okay.
Because Mark really wants to see it, I was like, "Okay, fine, I'll watch it." Because we'll go see.
I haven't seen the first one either,
dude.
I heard it's good, man.
Dude,
yeah.
The animation is unbelievable. It's part comic book, part like it morphs. Mm-hmm. It really morphs. It changes perspectives. There's shots in it that I'm like, the shit that they're doing with the camera work, you reserve for Oscar-winning features.
Can I tell you something? You know what other cartoon has similar animation?
Which one?
Puss in Boots.
Yes, 100%, 100%.
There's a reason it got nominated for an Oscar.
It is, and the story is so good.
It got nominated for an Oscar, didn't it? Puss in Boots?
Yes, it did. Yeah. No, it totally did. And I think that's a Canadian animation house, too.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not.
Oh,
yeah, I think.
Okay, cool.
Or maybe some tie to Canada.
Okay.
No, it's Miles Morales' character. Here's the backstory that I like. Because as soon as I find out about this, I'm like, hey, I'm late to the party. I need to get caught up.
Yeah.
Donald Glover was to be casted as Spider-Man at one point. He was on a short list. Fans went fucking nuts. Assholes out there. They're like, no, Donald Glover, right? Got to be a white Spider-Man. Stupid bullshit. Fast forward to... Community heard about it. Okay, they heard about it, and there's one.
Fuck,
scene,
that show is so good.
There's one scene. I haven't seen all of it, but there's one scene where he's in a bed and he jumps out and he's in Spider-Man pajamas.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Community wanted to shoot out across the bow and be like, "Fuck you for not letting him be Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll make him Spider-Man." Yeah. Comic book writer, I can't remember his name for the life of me, sees this, hears about it.
Yeah.
2011, the Miles Morales character is born, inspired by Donald Glover trying to be Spider-Man.
Nice.
So without Donald Glover attempting, you don't have Miles Morales, because this comic book writer was like, well, what if?
Yeah.
And you have this unbelievable movie where you have the same story of Spider-Man, but being experienced differently.
Totally.
Then you have the multiverse aspect, which we all fucking love.
Yeah.
But then you get a Peter from a different universe who's also going through this. It's so fucking good. It's master storytelling.
Well, isn't there multiple Peters, too?
There's multiple Peters. There's multiple versions of villains. Kingpin's in it. Doc Ock's in it.
Is Gwen Stacy in it?
Gwen Stacy's in it. That's Haley Steinfeld's character.
Oh, nice.
And Mark Tyler Henry.
So Gwen Stacy's not blonde?
She's blonde.
Okay.
But she's voiced by Haley Steinfeld.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But like, everybody's on point. The movie's amazing. The animation's unbelievable. I can't wait to see the next one.
Okay.
Like, it's...
Well,
I'll
watch it. It's on Disney, right?
It's on Disney. Sit down with kiddo and fucking watch it.
She likes Spider-Man and Friends.
It's on Netflix. It's not on Disney.
That's
Sony, buddy.
Oh, it's Sony.
Yeah. They're cashing in on the Spider-Man ride. As soon as Marvel let them in the door and said, this is how you should do Spider-Man, they've kind of readjusted. Yeah.
Is there another Venom coming out?
There's another Venom coming out.
Like a third one?
Yeah, but Venom's big release is going to be in the Spider-Man game for PS5. That hits October.
Okay.
That's the next big Venom appearance. But
Yeah,
no, watch Into the Spider-Verse for sure. Because it's... Oh, I know how much you loved Puss in Boots. This will satisfy... And it's 2 hours long.
Sweet.
Like, you just get wrapped into this universe. And it clicks at a certain point. Like, as soon as Miles gets bit, it turns into a comic book.
Okay.
And it's just so much fun to watch. So everybody.
So it's not animated? Like, it's live action?
No, then it's all animated.
But the animation's different.
And then
they kind of skew everything.
He jumps from like one panel to another panel throughout the movie.
Oh, cool.
There's like wham, pow shit happening.
Yeah.
It changes perspective from top to
back. Does it speed up the animation when he's going into certain things and change the stylization a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah,
like the
like it'll go more from like an American style animation to more of a Japanese style.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like it looks like.
Yes.
I'll give
to
you an example.
You're about to say.
Like you know in Ninja Scroll when he's like running and it's kind of like it kind of makes the animation a little bit more jagged to elicit more motion. It's kind of like that, right?
I would say that they're paying respect to every style of animation in every part of the world at some point
over the last 40 years, kind of thing.
Easily with VFX and computer generated animation, they're like they're going as far back as Reboot in some shots. Like, it really has a
Reboot, eh?
I honestly think every
fucking YTV style shit.
If you can't make a feature out of it and you want to make an animated version out of it, hire this team. This team all fucking day long.
That's cool.
That I give that 8
How many spider pigs out of 10?
John Mulaney's so funny in it as a spider pig. Were you joking and didn't know there was a spider?
I know there's a spider
pig. Okay, yeah.
But I'm also making another Simpsons reference.
Oh. Why do you do that? Why do you hang a fucking...
Spider pig.
Like, it's
and
you,
Homer's holding... Yeah.
It's you and everybody listening that's laughing at me right now.
I love it.
I can only hear you laughing, so it's not as bad.
I know.
Fuck you. I give it.
Hey, next time Mark's here, I'll make some Tom Cruise jokes.
I know,
and I will make fun of the fact he still hasn't seen The Matrix.
Perfect. It'll make me feel so much better inside as a man. So, I give it.
I don't think it's emasculating.
I know it's not. I'm just fucking pulling the yarn. 8 out of 10 spider pigs.
I've never seen The Office. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's some shows like I've never seen Modern Family.
There's two. You don't know Phil Dunphy? Oh my God.
Like, I know the characters. And I've seen little bits. Just like with The Office. I know the characters. I've never sat down and watched them all, and I need to, but it's just, I haven't had time.
There's experiencing the show when it first comes out.
Yeah.
And then tripping over it, and then just finding yourself in love with it. And I would rather.
I know I love The Office.
Yeah.
I just haven't had the time to devote to watching it.
And some things require personality changes.
Totally.
Sometimes when you're in a mood for dumb dick jokes, you're going to go to The Office.
I also need my wife to like to sign in on that because, like, we've sat down
too.
And watched How I Met Your Mother. We've watched Friends, right? The whole thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's a couple's
thing. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
So we watched it together, but, you know, and she just. for whatever reason, doesn't get into that one show. We watched Community together is another example of another one we watched together.
Yeah. No, we're watched. We just
Community's finished, really good. You should watch that.
We just finished Stranger Things together.
Dude, Stranger Things is great.
Stranger Things knocked me. I would love to talk about it for hours, but like, yeah. It's just, it's fucking 11 is so.
Is it done now?
One more season.
There's one more season, right?
Broken into two parts, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah that's that's.
I think the next season that comes out, I'm going to wait until after the first ones come out and the intermission.
Yep.
And then I'm going to binge seasons 1 to 4.5
and then
watch
play
the final part of 5.
I'm going to do that with you too.
I think that's what I'm going to do.
So mentioned at the top of the show, listener, we're doing all things Warner Brothers because The Flash is coming out this weekend. And I decided, I was like, what better time to talk about the whole reason. I think the whole reason, because let's start this. I think this is a perfect place to start.
Okay.
It's been like a year of Ezra Miller crap and mm-hmm. in and out of the there's so much.
So how many times did he get arrested in the last year, like 2 or 3?
3 to 4, I think.
And there was like a breaking and entering, and there was an assault.
There was also a care and control of a minor where like he was running around the country with her at one point, and the parents were like, listen,
how
like,
old is he?
He's in his early 20s, I believe. They are in their early 20s, sorry, he's a they.
So he's non-binary?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
I'm going to screw this up because I don't know how to use they, but no. They are Ezra. There we go.
Yeah, just use his name.
Yeah, it's Ezra got involved with a young woman.
He's got to be mid-20s, like 26, 27 now.
I'd say 25, 24 maybe. Yeah, check it. Anyways, I'll start first. With the anticipation of everything that's coming up and knowing that there were reshoots, half of me is like, how much of these reshoots did they turn around and make a Batman movie?
Bro, he's 31.
He looks like a baby. We'll never know this, Rob. But I truly think that those reshoots were about turning the movie into a Flash and Batman movie instead of having Batman come in and out briefly for us for nostalgia's sake. I think we have way more of a Batman movie.
I think they did that to be on the safe side because they were worried that maybe he had poisoned the well so much.
Barry, Barry, quite contrary.
I still think the best Barry Allen, though, is in Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
I think
if you don't get that, watch the movie.
Yeah. it's an Alias joke. I think Warner Brothers has done more work than I think they've ever done in the last 100 years of promotion to make sure this is a flagship success and this closes a chapter.
Dude, the trailer's fucking sick.
It's amazing. It's like, amazing.
It's the first DC movie that I've been excited about since the first Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Or
it's got that Wonder Woman, it's got that feel.
Or a Dark Knight movie.
It's and that's my point.
Or you know what, or Superman Returns.
I
love Cavill.
I do too.
Fucking love it.
I posted about they did the Superman.
I'm excited
shot.
To see Michael Shannon as Zod again too, because I fucking love him in that role.
It has all of the things that the Superman and Wonder Woman movies had, which is why I'm looking so. It just looks like it, and I'm like, all right, I already know what direction we're taking this. But I truly think it's going to be fan fucking tastic.
Aquaman was awesome too, except for all the underwater stuff.
Yeah. CGI's getting there. CGI's getting there.
It just didn't look good.
But so I don't know. What do you think? Like, thoughts before we even get into what the reviews have already said about it? Like, what is your hope for this?
For this movie?
Yeah.
I am excited about it. I love the fact that there's two different versions from two different universes, and they're like the same person, but their personalities are totally different.
Yeah.
And I love how that's going to be, they're going to play off each other. I love the complexity of shooting a film like that, where, you know, they've got to do makeup in between and film different scenes, and you've got to have
your continuity's
going to
be on point.
Like, you have to be so fucking tight, because the thing is that people are going to be looking for it.
Yeah.
And nowadays with the internet, you've got a fucking army of fucking nerds like
dark
us
fandom
that are just fucking looking for every little thing, and they're like
single
fuck
screenshot.
You fuck this up, dude. Like, you know, and you know, so that's going to be so important.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
do you think it can be a billion?
It'll be a billion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
this
ain't no Dark Adam.
No, you mean Black Adam
or Black Adam?
Dark Adam.
Fuck, why did I say Dark Adam? Jesus, Black Adam. Sorry. I had Dark Knight on the head, on the brain.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I was in the.
You were in the world.
I was in the solar system.
You were in the DCEU.
Yeah. 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 I was close.
You landed in the ballpark.
I was close.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be $1.2 billion. It's a Michael Keaton resurgence. We didn't get him in Batgirl, so now we're going to get him.
I mean, I don't think he's going to have as big a role in there as you think.
I disagree with you.
You think he's actually in there a lot?
Oh, I think he's got a full hour.
The thing is that the relationship or like the feel with that is, and they're stealing this. It's kind of like he's kind of like Iron Man, and then like and. You know how like
you think this is the Iron Man to his Spider-Man?
The Iron Man to his Spider-Man. That's totally what this is. That's the feel that I'm getting.
Like old guard, new guard. Here I'm gonna train two versions of you. So,
totally.
So both of you can do what you need to do.
And you know, and the way this is in the universe is like, you know, this is Batman is fucking old.
Batman is old. They've given him gray hair.
Yeah, man.
And they're like in the trailer.
But dude, if you've ever read Batman comics, there's times where Batman is fucking old.
Yes. Yes. No. Whose version is it?
Frank Miller.
Frank Miller's like it's the aging,
grizzled
sometimes.
Old yeah. in his mid-50s,
scarred
but still,
up.
But just fucking strong as fuck.
He's been beaten by Arkham. He's been beaten by Gotham. Like he is a shell of a man. I like the
he will stand toe to toe with Croc and take hits from that motherfucker.
Okay, so Rotten Tomatoes asks a couple things here, so we're going to pull it and see if this. So some of
so you want to talk about some of these quotes?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So Pete Hammond, Deadline Hollywood Daily. He's I don't know him, but Deadline's a big deal. The Flash may not be the greatest comic book movie ever made, but it comes damn close. I'll trust the Deadline review.
You know
any
what?
Day.
That was probably the most favorable quote out of these first five or so.
Yeah,
like I was like I read that. I was like, damn,
it's certainly an above. Definitely
got me excited.
Dave
for sure.
Rooney, Hollywood Reporter. The Flash doesn't reinvent the superhero genre by any means, but it's still one of the most consistently entertaining entities in the genre in years. That's Next Best Picture, David Howitt. I mean, it's getting, I think it's 89 on RT right now.
Dude, it's going to do well. I think lots of people are going to go see it. I actually think all the controversy around Ezra Miller is it's actually good.
Oh, no, but
it creates notoriety. It draws people in and they go, oh, isn't that the guy that had some issues? And then they go see him and they're like, and I love the fact that I feel like, you know, it's a true American story. Everyone gets a second chance. He's being given a second chance. And I think what this is going to disprove, and I think this is what's important, is it doesn't fucking matter what goes on in an actor's personal life. That's their personal life. It is adjacent to their fucking professional career, which is creating these amazing personas on camera. Now, I know that like Marvel and Disney want everyone to be, you know,
squeaky
holier than
plain.
Fuck
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they're worried, well, kids are going to look up to them. And I'm like, I get that. But, you know, like people are human.
It's also amazing.
And sometimes the actor that has the shit going on in the real life is actually the better fucking actor.
They're bringing it on the screen.
Because they have shit to pull from. There's a reason Robert Downey's so fucking good, because he's gone through all that fucking shit.
Yeah.
The guy's been in fucking prison. Went to fucking jail.
Black tar heroin.
Went to prison for 2 fucking years.
And
Scott Whelan were like fucking like cellmates or some shit. I don't think they were, but that's a fun thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
But they were in prison. They were in prison at the same time.
It's a really fun thing to imagine is that Robert Downey Jr. and the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots are in the same jail cell together, explaining life to each other.
Oh, that'd be
I
great.
Really like Ezra Miller as an actor. I liked him in We Need to Talk About Kevin. I liked him in
was he in the Wallflowers movie?
Think I love what he brings to his characters, his nerdy, awkward, dark.
But he's funny.
He's
very fucking funny.
He's very funny. Like, and I'm rooting.
And he plays like that guy. Like, there's a couple scenes in Justice League where he's just like, whoa, like kind of like, but like that naive cluelessness.
Yeah, like, I'm happy to be here.
But it's so great. But again, that's the way the fucking Spider-Man's played with the Avengers.
It's very similar.
But again, DC versus Marvel. There's so much overlap.
They're so fine with tracing over each other now because it takes us into their universe and we can just jump back and forth.
I fucking love it. I love it.
How does it rank among DC movies? One of the best DC movies to come. One of the best DC movies out there. At its core, The Flash is a film that exudes the aura of the past, channeling its predecessors Superman 78 and Batman 89. That is a big compliment from Dave Gonzalez from the Cinematic Reel.
You got to remember too, like The Flash is like, it always kind of has a more comedic kind of feel.
It does.
Whereas Batman's dark and serious. Superman is super heroic. Aquaman is just cool and like in the ocean.
The Flash is the happy puppy.
The Flash is like the, is always kind of the happy. It's not as dark. Like I think there was, I didn't read a lot of Flash comics. There, I'm not saying there isn't dark stuff that he deals with sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not as dark as some of the other stuff.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Even though DC is definitely darker than Marvel.
Yeah, and well, then that's what brings us in, right? Yeah. Is the trauma, like him trying to save his mother is his whole backstory. It's his cornerstone, right? Marvel doesn't, if they do stuff like that, they do it in a very... like,
and Flash is from Chicago. I mean, sorry, Center City.
Yeah. but like the only other time that it was ever really like besides the Robert Downey, like Iron Man death is Aunt May's death in Spider-Man.
Yes.
Right. Like that. That's the only time I've ever been like really rocked by the death of a character. This always happens
when Superman's dad dies, when Kevin Costner, and he goes. And
well,
he,
no, that's what I'm saying.
And he stops. He goes like that. I cried when I saw that in the theater.
Marvel doesn't do shit like that. They gloss over it too much. They make it too family, where it's like a death should unite us. Where like that's really traumatic. Where your dad holds his hand out and says no. And the
I know you can save me, but it's more important that people don't know who you are.
That is, and like. I'm getting goosebumps right now even thinking about that scene.
That is the fucking... And you know what that shows? Is that shows that he really is his father. Even though he biologically isn't his father, he sacrificed himself...
It's on the subtext.
To maintain that. And it adds this extra layer that is what shapes Clark to be Clark.
By saying nothing at all. Mm-hmm. By one fucking hand motion.
And Kevin Costner's so good in that role.
Kevin Costner's good. Kevin Costner's good on Tuesday in his underwear.
Like, well, he's not good in Waterworld.
Or the postman.
The postman's so bad.
It's one long letter.
That's 2 hours. That's 2.5 hours I'm not getting back. There were supposed to be cyborgs in that shit based on the book, and there was no fucking cyborgs in that movie.
Let's talk about the man of the alley here. How is Ezra Miller's performance? Miller excels in their performance as the dual Barry Allen, the Flash.
Yeah.
Miller putting a spin on effrontery on every line is the perfect actor to play this corkscrew superhero.
Yeah.
Miller does an impressive job making the two Barrys into distinct people. There's what you want. You want to see the difference, right?
I want to see distinction, totally.
The illusion is so convincing.
I want to know that they're both from a different universe and they might be of the same DNA and they might be from the same parents.
But they're not the same.
But their experience is different.
Yeah.
And I like it because it's the ultimate experiment of nurture versus nature.
I was just going to say, is it your environment or is it who is in your environment?
It's like the two twins that, were separated at birth and one grew up in England and one grew up in America.
Yeah.
And then they get together later as adults and they're totally different, but they're like the same still. And I know with this, there's going to be things where they're like, we're exactly the same, but we're totally different.
He says, so this is Matt Singer from Screen Crush. And I love this, Matt Singer. the illusion is so convincing.
Is he related to Bryan Singer?
Maybe.
Okay.
That sometimes you forget that a lot of this movie is just one actor talking to themselves. That's performative.
Totally, man.
And I know this fuck.
And that shows talent.
I know he can make the world forget that he made some mistakes. They made some mistakes.
Dude, they did some fucking drugs. They got all fucking crazy. They went on a fucking like 2-month bender.
Yeah.
You know what? After the Justice League money came in, of course.
Like,
imagine the checks that guy gets every month. He's just like,
I don't want to.
Fuck it.
I don't want to play that game.
Let's get an ounce of ketamine and just go to crazy.
Are you sad that this chapter of DC is closing the Snyderverse, so to speak? Because that's what we're like. Aquaman's next, and then it's pretty much like we're done. There's no Wonder Woman.
I don't know, man. I just hate the fact that Disney just can't get, or that Warner Bros. Can't get their DC, like in Warner Bros., can't get their shit together. They should have jumped off. Like, first off, Nolan did Batman perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay? And you should have tied that universe in. And if the fact that you are recasting Cavill after he drops The Witcher.
Listen closely, listen.
And
this
agrees
is
to do fucking Superman.
And then you drop him.
And then you drop him. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Not only did you ruin fucking Superman for me now, but you also ruined the fucking Witcher, which I was willing to accept.
You don't want Liam Hemsworth as your Witcher?
Fuck no.
You don't want to give a coin to your Witcher?
No. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because Henry Cavill is such a fucking fan.
Oh, I know.
And has read the Witcher book so many times.
And completed every
that
level.
That they are filming the movie and he'll go, wait a second, guys. In the book, this is how this is described.
Don't nerd out.
I think we need to change this, this, and this. And the writers and the fucking producers and the director will powwow and actually go, you're fucking right. And they'll do it the way he suggests it because it's more true to the story. I'm sorry. Liam Hemsworth is probably going to be great.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I'm being nice. Okay.
He wasn't great at being Miley Cyrus's husband.
I don't think he's great at anything.
The other Hemsworth is better than this Hemsworth.
He ain't Chris.
No.
But, like, it's just not going to be the fucking same.
Do you think Liam's Thor about not being Thor? Thorry. Here all week. Try the veal.
Imagine how, like, he's always in the shadow. And it's not like a Luke Wilson, like, Owen Wilson
family,
thing.
Family gatherings.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, like
Luke,
like,
and Owen are like neck and neck.
Who's the fucking favorite son there?
Who pays the bills, right? Who bought the house for the parents?
It's not like Luke and Owen. They're like, you know, Luke's only sad because he hasn't been in as many Wes Anderson movies.
Pretty much. You got a bigger Wes Anderson count. Right. Foreign.
But Bill Murray's still number one.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm here for you, Wes. Anytime you need me. Okay, so, all right. This is, we're on the same page. We should go see The Flash together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, now that we've done this, we should, because the next time we'll be in the room and we can be like, Mark, we're going to spoil it for you. Okay, cool. So leading into our Warner Brothers conversation, we do not have any of these conversations.
Are we going to talk about 89 first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We don't have superhero movies without Batman 89. We just don't. In my opinion, it's the template. And here,
It's not the template, actually. I disagree.
Okay.
Superman was 77.
Which copies... Here, hear me out. Okay.
Okay.
So, you have Reeve, who's relatively unknown at the time. He's done stuff, but he's
not a movie star.
He's not a movie star yet, which we launch him with it. And then you have Marlon Brando. $1 million to say, like, less than 30 words.
Yeah.
Right?
But he's Marlon fucking Brando.
But he's Marlon fucking Brando. That I will give
only
you...
Only Burt Reynolds is probably a bigger draw than him at that time.
For sure. Cannonball Run, The Mustache, Deliverance. Totally. Like, there's...
Biggest actor in the world at that time.
Huge. So we have this legitimate screen actor, Oscar winner, doing a comic book movie.
Did it come out before or after Star Wars? After, right? 78, after. Right?
Yeah. 78, 79. Not 80, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what Tim Burton did was, and I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers did the exact same thing when they realized what had happened, was that Brando brought Hollywood legitimacy to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Nicholson did the exact same thing for legitimacy for 89. Now, you get a point for the fact that Superman came first, and had we not had Brando casted that way, I don't think Nicholson would have bit.
I think the big difference, though, is I'm pretty sure Superman was 78 or 79. Sure. It was the number one movie of the year.
Yeah,
right?
Summer blockbuster.
So it was the summer blockbuster. And I mean, Jaws started that in 75, right? Yeah. And kind of carried it through.
Steven Spielberg defined the blockbuster.
But... Batman 89 was so big.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was, like, the first weekend where, like, a movie made $50 million. And you have to remember, too, like, this is when movies were $4 to go see.
Yeah, yeah. Different time, everybody.
You know?
Inflation wasn't such a bitch.
I mean, it's like Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind with inflation is still, like, number one, I think, or something, or number two.
Yeah, or, like, Cleopatra or some dumb shit.
No,
like
it's Gone with the Wind.
Is it Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see this movie in the theater when you were a kid?
I did. My mom took me to see it.
Yeah, I saw it like three times.
I only got to go because my mom is such a Nicholson fan. I'm pretty sure I would have never, like, so, like, mom, you kind of made up for The Simpsons not being in my life by taking me to shit like that.
Yeah, totally.
But what he does for the Joker is, and I watched an interview about it today. He was
Does he get those toys?
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
When he pulls out that giant gun out of his pants,
Lawrence. there's.
Or where they go up to the top of the fucking crazy cathedral,
and he pushes them off.
Oh my god!
That laugh, that purple suit, that fucking cosmetic surgery. It is all so ingrained in my head.
With the Prince soundtrack, or that scene at the beginning where they're going through the chemical factory, and then he falls in the vat, and I love how, like, the cops don't have fucking automatic guns; they all have revolvers and shit,
like six shooter revolvers.
Like, but it's like you're reading Detective Comics 27.
It is.
That's what it's supposed to be like.
Oh my god, it so is like it, and coming off of Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Coming off of Beetlejuice 82. Beetlejuice is 82, I think.
No, Beetlejuice is 87.
87. So you've got these kooky movies. You've got, I heard there was like 10,000 letters sent in to the Warner Brothers office saying, how fucking dare you let Tim Burton and Michael Keaton do this movie? Like, it was outrage beyond belief.
I think people were reluctant because up to that time, Michael Keaton was Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Was, what's that other movie with, the one with the, were there engineers at the car manufacturer?
Oh,
and the Japanese
shit.
Takeover?
Yeah, fuck. It's like a classic 80s, it's a comedy, right?
It's a comedy too.
Yeah,
right?
Fuck. I got into him, like, Multiplicity, The Paper. Like, my Michael Keaton came post Beetlejuice.
So Tim Burton, remember, 85 he did Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yes, another one, another reason not to give him.
Beetlejuice is 88,
yeah.
And then Batman was 89. Edward Scissorhands was after.
Okay.
Because he could do Edward Scissorhands because he did Batman. After he did Batman, they were like, what the you can do whatever the fuck you want. Here's a blank check. And he was like, I'm doing Edward Scissorhands. And imagine what the studio executives, they were like, excuse me, you want to do what?
Scissors for hands?
Scissors for hands? And Vincent Price is going to be in this? Like,
and who's Winona Ryder? Who is this woman you want to cast as a lead, right? Like,
well, though, she was in Beetlejuice.
I know, but she's got one credit, right?
Before that?
I don't know Winona Ryder. I mean, she's huge in the 90s. Reality Bites.
Yeah, that's true.
Girl Interrupted. Like, there's...
Girl Interrupted was later, though.
Was that early
2000s? That was like 99, 2000, I think.
Yeah. I just remember the chicken under the bed.
I've actually never seen Girl Interrupted.
It's pretty powerful.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, mental health, all women's.
Girl Interrupted was 99.
Okay, so still inside the best decade of cinema.
Dracula?
Theater for me. You saw it three times? I saw it once.
I saw it two or three times, yeah.
I remember
Kildonan Place.
Do you remember the first line of toys that came out with it that had the Batman where you could pull the belt out and it had a string attached to it?
Yeah, that was cool.
And like the first conceptualized idea of the Batmobile off the page. I'm sorry. I will give the Dark Knight
Winona
Batman.
Ryder's first movie was Lucas.
Oh,
that
shit.
Was the first movie she was big in.
She was like 16, 17.
Yeah. She was like Lucas. She was the girlfriend.
Yeah,
right?
One of those 80s romantic comedies and shit.
Yeah.
But I don't care what anybody says. Out of every Bat toy.
Corey Haim was in that one.
Yes, he was. Two Corys. The one who didn't make it. Rest in peace, Corey.
Well, fuck it. Fucking crazy shit. You want to talk about child pedophilia? Linking to the Duggars there. Holy fuck.
Challenge me. Is there a better Batmobile than 89?
Dude, it's fucking badass.
It's the best.
And the Batwing was fucking so cool.
And that shot that they're replicating in the trailer where he flies up to the moon.
But even just like they're in front of City Hall, and it's just like has that cool, crazy like cathedral.
Yes.
You know, very gothic. And that's the thing, you know, it's Gotham, but he's pulling in gothic architecture and it's just over and above, and it's just dark and scary, and like they did such a great job of taking sets that seem so big, but they actually weren't.
Tiny miniatures.
And crazy matte paintings and the right mix of miniatures.
And Danny fucking Elfman doing the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's good.
That, I mean, my ringtone for years.
But he did Beetlejuice too, didn't he?
He's done everything. Yeah. They're fucking locked at the hip.
Yeah.
You don't get a Tim Burton movie without a Danny Elfman soundtrack. It's almost sacrilegious at this point. But
you know what I'd love to see, though? And I'll throw this out.
Sure.
We should do an episode about this. Imagine how you took all of Tim Burton's movie, but you had Hans Zimmer redo the score.
Oh my God.
Or John Williams.
I just want to make a video of...
Like, imagine you switch them all around and stuff. Like,
so take a movie and then redo the soundtrack?
Yeah.
And then your best... Okay.
Or you took... Who does Toy Story?
Pixar. Oh, no.
Andy Bachman or no?
You got a friend in me.
Yeah.
The fuck's his name?
So imagine you get him, but he does the soundtrack instead of Danny Elfman.
Oh my God.
That'd be so amazing. Anyway, sorry, I kind of went on a side tangent.
No,
there.
I just want to
be in that fucking weird universe right now.
I just want to edit scenes and then chop in like a song, like a famous song from another
to see if you can get it to match.
Yeah. Like, can we put in
I feel like you need like a
Danger Zone into Batman.
Yeah.
And find the right scene in the tempo.
Highway to Yeah.
Anyways, as I was researching this, there's always, we got lists. We love lists here because other people put the work together and then we'll chew it apart. And,
like, just think about some of the dope fucking fight scenes, like where he takes like the batarangs and
it was the first time we ever saw the toys.
Dude, it was so, it's
and
so
And it wasn't
good.
Campy bats, like bat, and you know, shark spray. We didn't have shark spray.
And you know why Batman was so good? It actually shouldn't have been called Batman.
What should it have been called?
The Joker. It was more centered around the Joker than it was Batman.
Well, here's the first thing you didn't know. Yeah. Robin Williams almost played the Joker.
Really?
But Jack Nicholson with, like, you know, the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in Chinatown. Like,
Williams would have been good, but just hear me out.
We're comparing this against what we know, too.
Hear me out. It would have been more cartoony.
Yes, it would have been.
Instead of dark.
Yeah, it would have been a hyperactive version of the Joker, like the Mark Hamill Joker from the cartoon series.
And I honestly, truly believe that I actually still think the Tim Burton one is cartoony.
It has its moments. It definitely
has some, but it's still...
Mirror!
It's still cartoony.
Oh, you'll never have a Tim Burton movie
it's
without
very,
a little camp.
It almost has a Dick Tracy feel to it.
Sure. Who did Dick Tracy, by the way?
I don't know. Let's fucking Google that shit.
That's fine. Next thing I didn't know. So do you remember the little bat diagram that Robert Wool's character, Knox? He's got that little diagram that someone draws for him in his cubicle in the newspaper office. Take a look on the screen. That's a Bob Kane drawing. The guy who drew Batman in the comic books.
Yeah.
That drawing was actually done by him, and apparently the guy who played Knox and Kane did not get along when he was trying to research for the work.
Oh, really?
Apparently Kane had big problems with Robert Wool.
Kim Basinger is great in it, too.
Oh, such a dame.
And then there's that weird scene where she wakes up after they sleep together and he's like hanging from the fucking thing upside down.
Yes. Well, okay, here's something that's really interesting. So when Joker makes his request, okay, this took the same amount of runtime. So Joker makes his request to meet Bruce and his love interest, Vicki Vale. He requests transportation from Gotham Cathedral in 5 minutes, only to change it to 10 soon after.
Dude, Warren Beatty directed Dick Tracy.
That's so sad. In the time it... listen to this, Rob.
Ishtar.
In the time it takes for the Joker's helicopter to arrive, 10 minutes of the movie's runtime does pass. So he actually timed how long it takes for the helicopter to show up with the movie's runtime.
Who did?
Tim Burton.
What?
It was 10 minutes in the film. When that helicopter shows up to take them away, 10 minutes has passed when he says 10 minutes. It's very rare to see a director use real runtime against what's happening.
That's a very Nolan thing, actually.
It's very time fuckery. I love it. I think like that's amazing.
Yeah. That's not something that Tim Burton's known for.
No.
That's kind of cool.
That's playing with your audience. That's manipulation. Yeah. That's some fun shit. Joker's,
I mean, it's not time dilation fucking... level fucking Christopher Nolan shit, like using general relativity and all that kind of shit.
The dentist in Little Shop of Horrors and the tool tray in the plastic surgeon's office.
Yes.
Very similar in nature.
Yes.
There's a little shout out there.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
There's just less laughing gas.
The Joker's money at the parade had an interesting story behind it. So they actually put his face on the bill.
Yeah.
Because earlier in the movie, he says, I desire to have my face on the $1 bill. So if you look closely at the money, it's Joker's face.
But which Joker is it? It's Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it's not the Joker from...
the TV show.
Yeah. Burton didn't fully like the Prince songs. There was some clashing there. I love the Bat Dance, man. The Batman sound. No?
I don't.
How do you not?
I liked that. That was the only song that I kind of liked, but I wasn't a big fan of Prince doing the soundtrack. I think that's the one miss of that entire thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, who do you think could have done it at the time?
I think it should have just been a theatrical score.
Okay. So straight up symphonic.
It should have been. That's the level. And honestly, when you think back to it, there isn't actually a lot of the Prince songs. Don't even make it into the movie.
They're all in the soundtrack. Bat Dance is the big one.
And like, there's the art show scene.
Yeah, the art show scene. Lawrence, I mean, how many times have we all said, "Want to get nuts? Let's get nuts." Like, that is such a fucking known catchphrase.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I stand by my thoughts that we are getting a Batman and Flash movie,
okay,
they're just not saying it's Batman. It's like Batman and the Flash, like a kid's
but
book,
again,
right?
It's like the Spider-Man movie where you have Iron Man keeps jumping in
yep.
different scenes.
Yep.
I think it's going to be like that.
That's I agree with you 100%. You're going
to
mentor,
you're like Tony Stark is in the movie.
Yep.
Batman's going to be in the movie, but it's still going to be primarily 80% Flash, but it's going to have that 20% with him.
Well, we also have Batfleck too. Ben's in it as well. We have two Batman in it. He's in primary universe where he actually speaks to him in the trailer.
Oh,
and then
Ben Affleck's in it too.
Ben Affleck's in it as well too.
Nice.
And like, who knows about end credit scenes, right? What could we have that they might sneak in to be mm-hmm. like with the new DCEU with James Gunn shit? Do you think they're going to
imagine that Christian Bale's in it and we don't know yet?
Dude, seriously.
Could you imagine?
Like, that is definitely an end credit scene.
But hear me out. But it's Christian Bale playing Batman, but he's at the weight of the mechanic.
You mean the machinist?
The machinist, sorry. Did I say the mechanic? Fuck. I'm fucking combining fucking Statham movies with fucking
Bale Dude, I movies. Do it all the time with Shauna. Fuck. She's like, you mean this, don't you? And I was like, I sure do.
Yeah, totally.
Anyways, before we get out of here, as we mentioned, Warner Brothers and all these fucking legacy studios are turning 100 to 110 years old in the next 10 years. Warner Brothers has been around since 1920 fucking three. They were there right when pictures really started. They took what they learned from
when
that.
When did talkies start?
1935, I believe.
No.
Maybe 25? I got the notes here. Hang on. Talkies. 1925 to 1935. Here you go. Warner Brothers was a pioneer of films with synchronized sound, then known
because
as...
Because Gone with the Wind was 29, right?
Talking pictures or talkies. In 1925, at Sam Warner's urging, yeah. Warner agreed to add this feature to their productions. By February 1926, the studio had reported 39. A net loss of $333,000 in 26. So, like, they were one of the first to do it. But
yeah.
That's right around the time. The jazz singer's the one we all know.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
The big
yeah.
talkie.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah,
of
yeah.
a sudden, it was like, holy shit, we have all of this at the same
yeah.
time. But they're turning 100 this year.
But think about how complicated it was to do that back then. And
oh,
did they put the audio in between the, like, where did they have the audio truck on the side of the film? What did they do? Or I'm assuming they would play the film and they would have records that went into a phonograph.
I believe so, yeah, yeah.
So think about having to time that with the projectionists. And I bet you the projectionists were up in arms because it was all this extra work.
Oh, yeah. They've
guaranteed.
Been, talkies were the first threat to the entire industry because all of a sudden you've got an entire symphony who's got no job anymore. Like, now we're going to hire you out for piecework instead of playing yeah. while we show the film.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like...
Oh, did they do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
The orchestra pit. Back in the day.
Oh.
Right? You'd go see a silent film and the music was supplied in-house at the time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. A lot of that was done. The evolution of sound and being able to record. Watch Babylon. It's the turn of the century of picture making.
Oh, yeah.
They had microphones placed all over everywhere that were causing insane amounts of feedback and they couldn't get it right. Someone would be tapping. They'd all lose their shit because they didn't know what would pick up and what wouldn't pick
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So much shit went down for sound. Like,
so they had to like figure out in the sound editing and adding effects
yeah.
afterwards and all that kind of stuff. Totally.
It's the
yeah.
golden age of cinema. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was doing whatever they could. But
well, and they also wouldn't have had magnetic tape back then yet.
No, there's
because that didn't come out to like what the 30s or the 40s probably. Probably
I'm
the
not,
40s.
I have a whole essay on it actually that
huh.
I wrote on the history of the VCR. But it's,
VCR came out in the 60s originally.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head.
60s.
Anyways, it's Warner Brothers a-thon here.
You want to know?
Show.
You want to know a fun fact about the VCR? So the very first year the VCR came out in Canada was 1975. It was $2,500. It was from Sony.
I do remember that.
The same year, the Honda Civic was released in Canada for the first time in 1975. It was also $2,500.
That's insane.
I'll leave you there.
That's insane. There's a nugget of knowledge for you, listener.
Anyway, go on.
Point is, it's a Warner Brothers a-thon, and
yeah.
we can't
I got
talk
a sh-
about...
I got a short list of this for two.
I got... I don't even know where to start with this.
Dude, I looked at this list of the top of like 100 best movies from Warner Brothers.
And it's a Rotten Tomatoes list, listener.
Yeah,
so
there's going to be some stuff missing in here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I didn't even get a chance. And it's in chronological order. I only got up to like the early 80s when I looked through it.
Let's start around right where, like, because I mean, okay, we've got stuff like Deliverance and the Clockwork Orange, which, okay, first of all, Clockwork Orange didn't even know they did that movie.
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, that is such a game-changing film that is talking about things, that is doing it.
I hate it when people haven't seen it because I want to reference stuff from it.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Like
Murder Show.
A little bit of the in, a good old In and Out.
In Out, In Out, eh?
Hey.
But I'm singing in the ring.
But I always like referencing the scene where he's got his eyes like latched back open and they're putting the drops in it.
Yeah.
And they're
to
making,
train him to be a good human.
You know what I mean? And I'll reference that and people don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm like, fuck.
It's such a topical film because it's about brainwashing. It's mm-hmm. about control. It's about government interference. Yeah. Like there's so many things that are
It's about young teenagers being up to no good and then they become adults.
And the backlash too, because the book is way more violent than the actual film is.
Oh, yeah.
The characters are way younger. They're doing the same things, but at a younger age.
They're like 14.
Yeah, 12, 14, 15
yeah, man.
In it. Like,
yeah.
At least they gave him, like, he's out of
high
school.
Have you read the book?
I've tried, but because it's written in a different language, I can't get it.
Yeah, Nadset, right? So
yeah.
you got to read it kind of slow, and you got to double read pages. But the moral of the book, and they don't really touch on it as much in the movie, is, you know, there's four of them at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And the main character, he meets... Then there's the two that remember, like, hijack him and beat him up because they kind of become, like, kind of cops,
yeah,
right?
They become...
And they put him in jail, right?
Bobbies.
Well, the fourth one that isn't there but is at the beginning,
yeah.
He meets up with him later. And he sees him, and he's, like, with a wife and has a young child. And he's like, oh, well, you were always the youngest of us, right? And you've just finally kind of grown up. And that's kind of the whole message of it, is that...
Interesting.
You know, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
I'm impressed that during... I mean, you've got the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the death of flower power. We've lost Kennedy. We've lost...
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy,
yeah.
X, totally. King, right?
Totally.
And then you've got...
Cocaine is rampant.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And then you've got this movie from this...
Pre-AIDS.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's a crazy time to be talking about
totally.
That shit.
Is Chinatown on this list? Keep going down.
Yeah,
2001.
Space Odyssey. Bullet. Oh, my God. Cool Hand Luke, I think, is where I started.
Have you seen it?
I love Cool Hand
Luke. Dude, it's a great movie.
It's one of the best, like...
It's the movie, when I think of Newman, that's the movie I think of.
I do, too.
He's so fucking cool in
that. That and The Sting. Have you ever seen The Sting?
I haven't, actually.
Robert Redford and Paul Newman. So,
yeah.
Like,
you know what? I need to add that to my list. Let me do that. Yeah.
It's about the long con. It's
yeah.
about two grifters
yeah.
conning a poker player. It's
yeah.
it's as good as Cool Hand Luke.
To me, those two guys are George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
100%.
Just in a different era.
The industry washes, rinses, and repeats, mm-hmm. and they look for those Clooney types. Well, when you look for a Clooney type, or actually when you look for a Redford type, you end up with a Clooney. So if you keep looking for the same thing that,
yeah.
that touches on screen, you end
well,
up
Well, that's
with,
why Spy Game is so good, because you got Brad Pitt and Redford in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the young version and the old
and,
version.
And you're kind of like, what the fuck?
You're like,
this is the baton handoff here.
When you ripped through this list earlier, like,
I mean,
where did
okay,
your brain go
okay,
first?
Okay, so I kind of put a little short list. So I think one of the biggest ones for me is The Matrix.
Yes.
Fuck. And you know what? The funny thing is I was
preach on it.
My boss was in town today and we were driving around and he mentioned, he just said, oh, it's like we're in the fucking Matrix. And I said to him, I was like, do you remember when you saw that movie because he's about the same age as me.
And how far your
And I was like 18
back.
Or 19 when it came out. And I remember, like, I said, did you see it in the theater? He goes, I didn't see it in the theater. He goes, but I remember my dad had just bought a new TV and a surround sound and we watched it. And I said, do you remember fucking watching it and just coming out and just being like, what the fuck?
What did I just come out of?
And I said, totally. And I said, best fucking documentary ever made. He's like, totally.
We're all batteries,
you know, but like that. And the, you know how like every few years there's like a monumental movie that kind of like
yeah.
reshapes cinema and kind of changes it. And like and then.
Yes, I've seen James Cameron make movies.
You know what I mean? But The Matrix is one of those, right?
Very much so.
Like it just.
The Wachowskis.
Yeah.
Bullet cam.
Totally.
So many things like real green screen usage, right? Like really getting into it, defying what green screen could do at the time. I mean, Warner Brothers. They take chances. There is an era where Warner Brothers starts to get really heavy on specific content, but I would
yeah.
say from like the mid, like late 60s to early 2000s, Warner Brothers hit after hit after hit. At one point, they had Harry Potter and another film. They had $2 billion movies in the theater the same year.
It would have been Dark Knight.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, Dark Knight and Harry Potter. How do you like? How do you do that to make $1 billion hit? The odds are statistically against you that it won't pop.
Wow.
And I mean, as much data harvesting.
I mean,
as
Disney's done it too.
I know they have, but to be able to do it with this catalog, like, can you imagine if an Amazon Prime wanted to? Like what they did with MGM. Can you imagine if someone tried to buy Warner Brothers?
Warner Brothers is immense.
Like,
and the fact they own HBO too.
It's like you'd be in the trillions. You'd probably be in anywhere between 6 to 10 trillion for the IP alone, the rights alone.
Nah, it's not worth that much.
You don't think it's in the trillions?
Fuck no. Star Wars wasn't worth that much.
Star Wars was $4 billion.
Yeah.
That was
I think
2004?
If Warner Brothers, if someone's to buy Warner Brothers today, $45 billion.
I want it to be a trillion, so I'm going to
fucking
say
no fucking way. It's not Disney. It's not fucking Apple, bro.
It
or
feels like it.
It's not Microsoft. It's not fucking Tesla. It doesn't have the market cap.
The Exorcist, 1973.
Awesome fucking movie, man.
Amazing. Enter the Dragon.
Fucking
right?
Great movie.
Taking a risk on Bruce
Lee. When he licks the fucking blood off himself.
Right?
So good.
Like, and bringing martial arts.
Well, Enter the Dragon wasn't his first movie.
No, no, I know. Close. But, like, bringing martial arts to America for the first time. Like, Bruce Lee, he had to go over to Japan to make everything that he did.
No, this Hong Kong.
Sorry, Hong Kong. Blazing Saddles. I mean, we can talk about that all day.
That's great.
But
great.
Dog Day Afternoon. All the President's Men. This is where it gets crazy. This is what I'm talking about.
You didn't even go that far back, though. Like, isn't Casablanca in here?
Yeah, you want to go all the way to the beginning? All right, let's see what we got here. Starting off with... you've got The Adventures of Robin Hood.
I've seen
The Maltese Falcon. This is in 40-41. Casablanca.
And you
got to
remember, too, in 41, when they made The Maltese Falcon, that's during World War One, and they had those really strict fucking guidelines to make a movie.
Yeah, the code. It was called The Code.
Is that what it was called? The Code.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. Have you ever seen this movie called Double Indemnity?
I've heard about it.
So
I know
it's kind of like the first
it.
Film noir.
Okay.
And it's like 44, 45. It's super good. I watched it in film studies class. film studies class first year university, and we had to write a paper on it. It's a very good movie.
Strangers on a Train. Streetcar
Named
Desire.
It's one of the first movies that had the femme fatale in it.
The trope. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Who's in it? Or who directed it?
I don't know, man. It's old.
I've heard about it constantly. Yeah. Like when people talk about
it. It has like the private eye and the femme fatale.
All the gin joints and all the world. You come walking into mine. Let's get into like the our era here. Let's go back to the 90s for a second.
Well, let's go back to The Shining. Like, I think that's a good starting
stop
point.
There? Okay, let's stop there for
a second. Let's start at The Shining.
Let's start at what pissed off.
I mean, first
Stephen
off, first you got Superman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and we agreed that that was kind of the first superhero movie, but 89 Batman is really kind of what made like the big blockbuster one.
It solidified it in the world.
It kind of started it, right? But then in the 90s, we didn't really have anything.
No, we didn't.
Because the thing is, the CGI wasn't ready to do anything beyond Batman.
Yeah, like, I mean,
it just wasn't.
Our big CGI moment, like the hurrah moment, is the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
that's when
CGI
really, like, that's when it was like, we can do this. It might take hours to render. It might take a stack of computers.
I mean, Back to the Future, you know, Ghostbusters. There's a few movies in the mid-80s that did have some really spectacular stuff.
Oh, for sure.
But I would, But, dude, The Shining is so fucking good.
The more and more
Kubrick is so fucking good.
I know he's good, but you know,
like the fact that he's got the fucking green tie and it looks like a fucking, it's got the interwoven thing, and then it's like fucking, like it's a foreshadow to him dying in the fucking maze, the hedge maze. Like, there's so much stuff.
He pissed off so many people, including Warner Brothers, when he made this too. I think he was very close to like, you can't see what's in my can.
Yeah,
I'm not showing you any dailies. Yeah. Like, this is how I interpret it. And as much as I love the movie,
yeah,
I have such a hard time breaking away from it. Still broke too far from source material. Like,
I've never read the book, so I don't have that reference point.
And I know you're a big Stephen King fan, which is very
shocking. I like Stephen King. I honestly, I have not read a ton of his novels.
You just like what he does.
I like what he does.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I love anybody that can write what he's written while smoking cigarettes and doing tons of cocaine.
But yeah, no, The Shining.
Here's Johnny.
The Shining is a huge mainstream horror. It's another big risk because it's a Stephen King book.
But I think they were willing to take the risk on this because of The Exorcist.
Very much so. And Stanley Kubrick. What can this man, like, we've got
Dude. He'd done 2001 before that?
Full Metal Jacket before
Spartacus?
That Spartacus?
Is Spartacus Warner Brothers? I don't think it is, actually.
It would be on this list if it was.
I didn't see it. Tootsie is a great fucking Blade Runner dude.
Right.
I fucking love Blade Runner so much. I watched that so much as a kid. It's like probably my dad's favorite movie. I remember they released a director's cut. I was like 11 or something. It was like 90 or 91. My dad made me go watch it at the drive-in with him.
It doesn't lose power. It is full battery, 100% charged 30 years
later.
Have
you seen, you know, in the original version at the very end, they're like his escaping monologue? And he's talking and they're showing all those like greenscapes. That's actually footage from The Shining.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers owned it, so they were able to repurpose it.
The good old Disney recycle, right?
Yeah.
Where Baloo from Jungle Book and Friar Tucker, whoever from Robin Hood of the
National Lampoon's Vacation, fucking phenomenal.
They
fucking,
are
like that's Chevy Chase's best.
They're responsible
Gremlins,
for his fucking career. This is where it gets nuts.
Never-ending story,
right?
So, have you watched Never-Ending Story like recently? It's so fucking good.
It's committed to
it. It still fucking makes me when Artax is when his horse dies in the swamp of sorrow.
Atreyu.
I was trying to pull back tears, and Lucy was like, "Daddy, it's okay," and I was like, "I'm okay." Like I was just like, "Fuck."
So, I do it once a year. But I've leaned towards the Neverending Story 2 more recently, the Jonathan Brandis one. It's not as good. I know that.
I think it's because you're a few years younger than me, maybe. That's why.
I still love the Neverending Story. It's still one of easily my favorite childhood movies. It's one of the best kids' movies.
I just remember seeing it in the theater and just being just mesmerized.
I didn't get it in the theater, so there is the difference of it. But then let's continue up the list here. Once Upon a Time in America, The Goonies, The Color Purple.
Bro, if I'm having a shitty day, there's two movies that I will go to.
Which one?
One is The Goonies. The other one is Back to Future.
They're
happy. Or Indiana Jones.
They're happy places.
Fucking love them.
Lost
Boys.
Lethal Weapon series.
Dude, go back. Lost Boys.
You want to talk about Lost Boys?
I want to talk about fucking Lost Boys. I fucking love this movie.
I watched that movie.
Dude, the Corys.
I know. I watched that movie illegally. My mother knew. She was taking me over to a sleepover.
Yeah.
And that was the movie we were watching, and I felt so guilty watching it.
It's so good.
But it's so Jason fucking Patrick.
It's so
fucking Sutherland.
So cool in it.
It's so bad. It's so good.
It's so good.
But like,
and like the grandpa at the end, fucking Santa Cruz, all these fucking vampires.
California fucking vampires. Like, it's such a.
Yeah.
And Joel Schumacher.
Oh, dude, so
right?
good.
Early Joel Schumacher.
Yeah. Lethal Weapon.
Richard
Fuck.
Donner. Full Metal Jacket's after The Shining. I thought it was before.
No. Full Metal Jacket's so. But you know what? The best thing about Full Metal Jacket is the fact that Kubrick had gone. Pause here because we're going to talk about Goodfellas. He'd gone so crazy, he refused to leave the UK. So they filmed fucking Vietnam scenes in the UK. They brought in palm trees. And the funny thing is, they had to use British military gear. So when you watch the movie, all the helicopters, none of them are Hueys, all the tanks are fucking British tanks. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, it doesn't have
World War II Vietnam historian.
Well, you're just looking at it and you let it go because it's such a good movie, but it's ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. JFK is awesome. Goodfellas, man, is still like my favorite Scorsese movie.
You know that that's his mom in the kitchen scene, right?
Whose mom?
Scorsese's.
Really? Interesting.
That whole scene, all the boys fell in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scene in the kitchen with Joe Pesci being like, "Can I borrow a knife?" is her being Mrs. Scorsese. It's not like he doesn't give her anything to say. He just brings her in and knows how she interacts with people. And it was like, we need a mom in this scene. We need one of these boys to come home so that they can fix the problem. And it'll be funny because they'll have just killed somebody, but they're hanging out with her after. And it's these murderers hanging out with this cute little old lady. And that's Scorsese's mom.
Can I ask you a question? Like if Spielberg had made Goodfellas, it would have been good, right? Just hear me out. It would have been a good movie. Spielberg could make
a coming of age tale,
but Spielberg is a great director.
Yes, totally.
But he culturally isn't aligned the way Scorsese is, having grown up in New York, coming from an Italian background, just nails that kind of movie on a different level.
The gangster movie is perfect for him
because of his cultural background.
Yeah,
you know it. You know, I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
Spielberg would have made a Catch Me If You Can version of it. It would have sucked. It wouldn't. You wouldn't have, like, in a Spielberg movie, you wouldn't have a shot on the guy being stabbed in the back of the trunk before they kill him. You would just see the knife going in and out. Like, you would.
You would have a shadow,
right?
Like,
well, you have, and like you do get their shadow, but they're digging the fucking grave.
Totally.
Goodfellas.
And in Casino, you wouldn't have the sound of the baseball bat slugging against the guy's head.
Oh, in that
ting,
cornfield.
Ting.
Oh my God, Nikki.
Okay, let's keep going. The list.
JFK, 1991. Malcolm X, 1992. Unfucking Forgiven. Our Clint Eastwood, pretty much directorial debut.
But here's the one that stood out for me, and it's right here at the top. How fucking good is The Shawshank Redemption?
It's a perfect movie.
Every time in the last 20 years. If I'm scrolling, this is back when I had cable, and if I just happened to run into it, didn't matter where in the movie it was, I would stop and I'd watch it.
I know.
It is so good.
It
actually might be the perfect movie.
I saw Clint
Thank
Booth.
You, Stephen fucking King.
And Frank Darabont brought it off the page.
And I mean, we've talked about this numerous times on the show.
You can't not talk about Shawshank.
It's so good. Honestly, I didn't know about it until it was on video. It was
same theater. No idea. No, and it's got a 91% too, right? So like, not a big theater, but it's a hero.
I think it's better than The Fugitive. The Fugitive's got a better ranking.
It
wasn't me. It was a one-armed man. But The Fugitive's fucking good, dude.
Tommy Lee Jones
is so good in that, man.
Fucking FBI director, or no? It's not FBI. What does it matter?
The guys that chased...
Federal agent.
No.
Federal agent. He's a federal agent. I'm right. I know I'm right.
Marshall. U.S. Marshall.
Federal... Fuck, I'm wrong.
U.S. Marshall.
Space Jam.
No. Seven. Seven's so good.
What's in the box?
Oh, fuck.
What's in the box?
I know.
Also, like, a step outside of kind of everything. Like, they don't step into the dark world that much. Warner Brothers is all about, like, big storytelling.
No, Warner
adventures.
Brothers is about dark. When I think dark fucking movies that are big, I think Warner Brothers. They're the darkest of the fucking studios.
Really?
Yes, they are.
I think Universal is. I think Lionsgate Way is.
But they're not big. They're not as
no,
big.
They're boutiques.
Universal's big. Universal is huge. Matrix, fuck. Rush Hour is so fucking hilarious.
How about Magnolia?
It's okay.
Really?
I like it. I've
so
only seen it once.
Up. It's so
it's
fun.
Fucked up, but I mean, it's
and it's Tom Cruise as a pickup artist. Like, I have wanted that vest just to hang on my wall and maybe wear it when
it's
no
on
one
my
else is
it's
around.
On my favorite Paul Anderson.
Paul Thomas Anderson. What's your favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie then?
No. Well, because there's the other Paul Anderson.
Oh yeah, Paul W.
That's what
the
I
guy
said.
Who did the
Resident Evil,
the Resident Evil guy, married to Mila Jovovich. Oceans. Now we're getting into your
and this is my biggest one.
Yeah, it's Lord of the Rings.
It's Lord of the fucking Rings, and I Lord of the Rings is kind of dark.
Well, it's
you know what I mean.
It's dark in that we have orcs and we're undergrounded. We're building creatures.
Yes, that's what I mean. But like you know, like
but the
you
story
know
is
Warner,
about hope and.
But
and,
Warner
and,
movies
and,
always have that filter. They have that toned down filter.
Okay, so now you're talking conceptually.
Seven is dark.
It is.
Exorcist is dark.
Well,
Shining is dark.
Exorcist is almost true. Have you heard that story? It's based on a boy instead of a girl, and like everything except the jumping bed went down. The puking did happen,
and the head going around.
Not the head going around, but the speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
The changed voice.
Was it in Boston as well?
I don't know if it was in Boston. I know it was on the East Coast. I think it was New York, actually.
Okay.
But don't hold me. Fact check me.
That
on
shit
that.
Fucking freaks me out, man.
Early 2000s, Harry Potter
Harry
series.
Harry Potter's fucking amazing.
Million Dollar Baby. Here's Clint Eastwood's Run. Before Sunset is
300.
Fuck.
Dude, you want to talk about a trailer that I watched 9 million times and was so excited to see the movie? And you, a lot of times you watch a trailer too many times and then you have such high expectations and you go see it and the movie lets you down. That movie did not let me down.
No, it didn't. That was one of the first movies where you got a still shot of animation and then it went right to real movie. And then I watched that movie illegally. I had a copy of it. I watched it 3 times in like 48 hours.
Yeah.
I researched how they got ripped. I was almost going to try their workout plan. So check this out. So they got ripped, right? And they are out of every like hunk of a body in a film outside of our big muscular action heroes. They are an amazing shape. and they had a routine. They had an ex-Navy SEAL who came up with this idea where, like, okay, so when you take the blood out of the extremities, right? So say let's go do a bunch of, like, running exercises and, like, lower limbs. You drain the blood to the muscles that you're working. Then you go and hit the weights hard on the upper body. So, like, you pump your legs up to the point of where all the blood's down there, and then you lift twice the amount of weight to get that jacked. That's a six-week program that got them into that shape. Jesus. That is insane.
Gerard Butler was fucking ripped in that shit.
But Fassbender, too? Yeah. That was one of Fassbender's, like, early roles as, like, one of the two younger soldiers, right?
That's right.
The jumping spear thrower, and it's like, I have a bigger kill count than you. Definitely.
Xerxes is so fucking dope in that, too.
No,
like,
kidding. And when what's Butler's character's name?
I can't remember.
Leonidas.
Leonidas, yeah.
Leonidas. When Xerxes is like, all you have to do is bend the knee, and he hits his thigh, and he's like, you know, my legs are a little cramped. I don't think I'll be bending today. And I'm like, and he's eating the apple, and he's fucking taunting Xerxes. I'm like, God, Gerard, you're fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's the movie that put him on the map.
It really is.
Yeah. V for Vendetta is great. Pan's Labyrinth.
Departed.
Dude, Departed's so fucking good. So there's three movies for me with Scorsese that are just like the ones that I just love, and that is Goodfellas, Casino, Departed.
Yeah. Cops and Robbers and Mafiosos. You can't. No one else can make a. Mario Puzo's the only one who's done it. Everybody else who's ever tried to make a really good gangster flick falls short because it gets campy or it gets too buried in, you know, the manly
aspect of it. Or it's a Godfather ripoff.
Exactly. Somebody's always trying, or Scarface ripoff, right? Like, there's everybody tries to be that, but yeah, no, you're right. Departed is.
But Scarface is different because it's not Italian mafia, right? It's South Beach. It's a little bit different.
You get the money,
you know.
Ben Affleck with Argo.
Argo, won, dude.
Right? Inception.
Yeah, dude. I love Inception. Right. I could talk about that movie for hours.
So. You want to talk about Christopher Nolan for a second?
Yeah.
Warner Brothers royalty. Him and Clint Eastwood, I would say, have had the longest running relationships. With
I think the
studios.
Only movie of his that isn't is
Tenet.
And Memento.
And Memento, sure, yeah. But Memento got him the job.
Mm-hmm.
So when
and what's the one? What's the one with him and Robin Williams that he did?
Insomnia.
Insomnia. I don't think that's Warner Brothers.
No, well, might not be on this list.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Nolan has this long running relationship with Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so shitty. And this is David Zaslav being a cunt, by the way. So Barbie's coming out the same weekend as Oppenheimer. All right. Mm-hmm. That's a big, and Oppenheimer confirmed rated R. So you've already limited who can come to the film.
Totally.
And that's a big, big risk. Anyways, when Tenet went to streaming, instead of going to the theater, Nolan and the right to be was like, fuck you. This is wrong. I make movies for the theater. I make them on IMAX cameras. I make them on film. You don't make this movie and then show it on someone's home screen.
Totally.
It's disrespectful. Don't
props
let me
to Tom Cruise for fucking holding out on Maverick.
Right? Same thing. Like, fucking bear down and bite the bullet, guys. So
which studio was Tenet?
Lionsgate. Oh, no, wow. Universal. Sorry, Universal. Universal.
Lionsgate's owned by Universal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Universal is doing Oppenheimer.
So,
because you've got Syncope, which is company, and then Universal's the money.
Okay.
So there is a theory right now, I read it today, that Warner Brothers is being a dick on purpose to take away from Universal because Universal gave him such a good... They basically gave him the same deal that he was getting out of Warner Brothers, which is like, here's your money, here's your studio, have at her.
Just do it. We know
who you are. Speaking of, Oppenheimer is written in the first person. It's not written in the third person.
Oh, cool.
So you get his perspective of what's happening.
I love Cillian Murphy, too. Ever since I saw 28 Days Later, I was just like, fuck, this guy's going to be big.
He does film. He does television.
He's so good. I need to watch Peaky Blinders.
Did you see Sunset? Sunshine? Sunshine.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Such an underrated Cillian Murphy movie.
Dude.
And Chris Evans.
Chris Evans is fucking
right?
In it.
Like,
Rose Byrne's in it.
Right? Like, watch it, listener. It's all about
Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
She's in it.
If you haven't seen it, listener, it's reigniting.
Who's the Japanese guy from Inception? He's in it.
From Westworld.
Yeah, he's in it too.
But it's just for you guys, it's a story.
He's the captain.
What's the story? It's a story about launching a nuclear bomb to restart the sun.
So basically what it is the sun is dying.
Yes,
and
that's it.
So humanity has gotten together and they've basically collected every piece of radioactive material from the Earth, and they put it into the ship, and they're basically going to go and reignite the sun by reigniting the nuclear fission in the sun. But they're not the first mission. Another mission years prior had been launched, but that got lost. So this is the second and last attempt, right?
I don't know. Final thoughts. What's your last movie before we get out of here?
I got a couple more to talk about. First off, you got Nolan's Batman trilogy. Fucking so good.
Yeah, it's way at the top of this list. That's why we're not there.
Interstellar is so fucking good. Mm-hmm. And finally, the new Dune movie.
I'm
so excited about the second one.
I am so beyond excited for Dune. And I'm not from the books. I'm not from the David Lynch version.
Timothée Chalamet.
You're doing it all day long today.
Fuck, I am fucking brutal. I'm tired. He is so fucking good.
That
kid is super good.
Do you know why? And I think this talent is one.
Yeah.
But DiCaprio is taking him under his wing.
Well, didn't DiCaprio tell him, don't do superhero movies. Don't do hard drugs. Don't do superhero movies.
They party together. They hang out together. They're seen in the public eye together.
I have seen pictures of DiCaprio, and he is on fucking E, so he's a liar.
Oh, hey. There's... Hard drugs is hard to
So is hard drugs heroin and meth and crack?
I think street level.
So cocaine and M are okay?
I mean,
what's the cutoff here?
Where do we draw the line, so to speak?
Maybe M is the line because it can be used to treat PTSD.
Yeah, and it came from a clinical background before it was a street drug too.
It totally was. Yeah,
it was used in couples therapy.
It was originally It was originally founded in 1919 by Merck, and then it kind of went into the vault, and they rediscovered it in the late 60s, early 70s.
I have to shout out, even though it did knock off Citizen Kane, I really did love the Paddington series. Like, those movies are fucking adorable.
The Paddington Bear movies?
Oh,
never
my
seen
God.
Them.
Oh, my. Watch them with Lucy, man.
I'll wait.
They're so
I fucking hate Marmalade. I hate fucking Marmalade. I love the Paddington Bear cartoon when I was a kid,
so
though.
So cute,
are
man.
They good?
They're so good. Brendan Gleeson's in it.
Okay.
Plays a crotchety old cook in the jail who helps him make marmalade sandwiches.
There's another good movie up here too, and that's the second movie on the list is. Have you seen Crazy Rich Asians?
I tried to watch it,
dude. It's so good.
I know it's funny.
It's hilarious.
I don't think I was in the mood for like.
It's such a good rom com though.
Rom-coms fall short for me these days.
It's like early 2000s, late 90s like caliber.
I'll give it a shot.
Give it another try. It's stupid rich people, but it's like but it's an all Asian cast. They're in Singapore. It's just it's so refreshing for it not to be in New York City
or
San Francisco.
There was and I think this is when Succession first started.
Yeah.
I started watching it and I started to hate watch it because I was like, this is too much fucking wealth for one person.
I need to watch the final season of Succession.
I need to watch the other three because that's why I stopped watching it. I was
angry
at the Roys.
So good.
I know it is. I know it is. But I was, that and Billions were pissing me off.
Kieran Culkin is so good.
He's perfect.
Yeah. Billions is so good too. I'm not into the new seasons though.
Damian Lewis left. Ultra rich shit was really getting to me. So anything that was rich at the time or based on like wealth.
But it's interesting to see things from that guy's.
Oh,
right?
Definitely. Definitely. I just, I'm judgy. I'm a judgy prick. And I'm like, no, that's going to make me feel this way. I'm not into it at the moment.
That's why it's funny when people say, blah, 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 kill the rich. And, at the end of the day, we're the peasants. We're just like really rich peasants.
Give them bread, give them circus, right? That's all we want.
Peneme circus.
Okay, one more here.
I don't know. All I got to say is this Warner Brothers list is fucking epic. And
it
this
is.
And there's probably another 200 movies on here that we'd be like, oh, what about this? What about this?
Oh, we could do this all day long. That's the best thing about a list is that it jazzes you up. It's like, oh, this or that or this or that. I don't know if the Warner Brothers documentary is out yet. I think it might be on Max.
Zodiac's a good one, too.
Zodiac's fantastic. I think the doc is on Max right now. I don't think it's come to Canada yet.
Okay.
But keep an eye out.
Oh, great.
For
it'll end up on Crave.
Your most loved streaming site.
I hope you enjoy non-HDR.
But like, if you really like the history and the lore of the movie industry, I think this is a perfect documentary for anybody to watch. I'm going to fucking eat it up. Like, this is the shit I live for. I love the behind-the-scenes studio on the ground.
Well, what's that show on Netflix, the movies we love? There's the movies we love too.
Yes, all that stuff.
Where it shows weird back end stuff. And you're like, I was watching the one about RoboCop. I was like, what?
Exactly. Yeah. Or Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Like Dirty Dancing was made by a distributor.
Oh,
they never made a movie in their life. They just distributed VHS.
Huh.
And they were one of the first VHS distributors.
Huh.
So they took a gamble on making it, put all their eggs in one basket, made a fucking hit, and then distributed it on tape and made a fucking boatload of money after that.
What do you think of the new Roadhouse coming out?
I don't think there's any way we can top Sam Elliott and Patrick Swayze. I really don't. Like the way they the way Sam Elliott grabs his hair is enough for me in the first. Like when he's sitting there.
I think Gyllenhaal will do a really good job.
What is Connor going to do? That's the problem.
I don't know,
half this movie's a fucking actor who's half this movie's an actor who only fights. Like that's if we're going to call
it's Connor McGregor, right?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be good. I actually think he's going to be good.
Whoever directed that movie has to have a ton of patience, because I can't imagine how many takes that fucking idiot asked for. That prima donna who's never been on a set, whose UFC attitude.
But here's the thing. Can I just say something about that though? That's a persona.
Yes.
It's a
but
hear me out.
Gotten him what he's wanted.
Hear me out. Was he a top tier MMA fighter?
Oh, for sure.
Now, to become a top tier athlete in any sport, do you have to be disciplined as fuck and train and be committed to your craft and all that kind of good stuff?
100%.
So what makes you think that he's not going to take that same dedication to fighting and apply it to this acting?
After seeing
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I know you
simply.
Are. And I don't have a I don't have a
I'd like to see some behind the scenes stuff, maybe.
I would. Well, the only stuff we've seen so far is when Gyllenhaal, because his character is a fighter.
I saw that at the actual UFC thing. Yeah,
I was like, is he going method? Like, is he actually going to fight this guy?
Yeah.
But
they interviewed him and they said in the scene there had already been a fight and there was blood on the fucking in the octagon, and he said he was having his head pushed against like dried blood on the fucking octagon and stuff.
That's that's acting.
Do you know it's actually Gyllenhaal?
Really?
Yeah,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's how you actually say it.
We've
in
been
Sweden.
Pronouncing it this way our entire.
The Americans pronounce it Gyllenhaal, but it's Swedish, and it's actually Gyllenhaal.
Yolehihu.
Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
Well, they're not Bavarian, dude. Well,
never been to.
This
Europe.
Isn't a Riccolo fucking commercial.
Riccolo. Gyllenhaal. Anyways, Warner Brothers is awesome.
Totally.
Flash is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
We hope Ezra Miller can change everybody's minds and make you forget that he did some dumb shit. And they make
You for firing Zack Snyder.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you for firing Zack Snyder and Henry Cavill and all the decisions that David Zaslav has made. We love the studio you've inherited, sir, but quit fucking it in the goat ass. And Batman's going to be awesome. Yeah. I think it's a perfect time to say
to wrap this shit up.
Yeah, to say thank you, listener, for tuning in to another free for all. Let us know if you like these 2-person episodes. We'll make it a fucking habit. Like, we get to pull the yarn a whole lot more when Mark isn't in the room. We love you, Mark. But yeah, if this is your first time listening to the show and you've got this far, subscribe. We would love it. If you like this and you're listening at this point, that means you gave us a shot, which means if you subscribe to the show, that's a way to boost our online profile and make us make us known to the world. What are you showing me over there?
I just realized that you have a cardboard cutout of Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
I know.
And I just realized that. We were talking about it. I didn't even see it.
You gave that to me.
Oh, I did give that to you. That's right.
You were like, who wants these? And you put them in the guide chat.
That's right.
And I was like, I'm claiming
that's
that
right.
one. And then I also have the Rocky right here.
You have
here.
The Rocky. That's right. I have the Darth Vader and the R2-D2.
Exactly. And I'm like, there's no way you're giving that up.
No.
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 But
no.
Yeah, so subscribe to the show is my point. Hit that like, follow, whatever button in your podcast player that puts us there in each and every week. And we will do our utter best to entertain you with our take on film and media and all things pop culture. Check us out online, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Real Debaters Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And the Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook. And RD Podcast Shorts or the Real Debaters Podcast Shorts on YouTube if you want to see us. That's where all our clips are. You can see Rob. You can see me. You can see all the cast of the show.
We're more handsome than you think.
Yeah. I sound more handsome than you think, but whatever. I'm used to it. That's why I'm in podcasting. That being said, thank you.
Some would say you have a radio face.
Yeah, my mother being one of them.
Ouch.
I love her. She paid for most of this. No. Yes, she did. I am Batman. And you are?
Batman. No, I'm Rob Strack.
And I've been Michael Petro. Watch all the movies, kids, and bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Spanish ladies.